Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Adam Hogue and Mark Carmen with you until 7 o'clock this evening. And we got a busy show for you. What a win there by the Northwestern Wildcats, doing what they should do against an awful Rutgers team.
Can we get conference realignment, reassessed? The Rutgers Scarlet Knights, with all due respect, why are they in the Big Ten Conference? And I know the real reason, it's because it's TV, but come on.
But I question if that even is a thing.
So do I.
I was with two NFL people on Tuesday night in Indianapolis that live in New York.
Yeah.
And I asked them about how does Rutgers move the needle in New York?
Oh, big time Rutgers move. Everyone in New York.
No, they were both like, well, we already had the Big Ten Network, and no one cares about Rutgers there, so I don't. They didn't have an answer for me.
Well, sometimes things don't work out. And to this point, Rutgers in the Big Ten, I'd say that's not exactly working out. But hey, good win for the Wildcats. And once again, congratulations from myself and you, Adam, and from Mike Jacobson, who can't see straight today and might not make it to the end of the show, to our sports director, our leader, Dave Ennett, and Northwestern and WGN on the four-year contract that was announced yesterday on the Steve Cochran Show. Adam, of course, you're involved in the broadcast big time. I have my part as well. So we're all thrilled that the Wildcats are continuing here on the station, and it's great to Yeah, right on.
Go Cats.
That's exactly right.
No, very happy about that, and happy that Dave's going to be around for another 4 years, at least, because we certainly don't want to lose him. We love Dave, and that was the other good part of that whole deal.
I've congratulated Dave now via Twitter, via text, and on the air twice. Have I covered all bases there?
I think you've sucked up enough. Yes.
I mean, the man deserves a solid congratulations. Honestly, how many guys have had the career that Dave Ennett has had? For real.
And not many.
Right? Two stations
his
in town, been here forever.
Engraved in the ground right over there.
Name engraved in
outside these showcase studios.
Name in the ground, name on the press box. Phenomenal at what he does. I just, you know, my congratulations. I said may in this four-year contract there be a Rose Bowl and an NCAA tournament appearance. I don't think that's asking for too much. One Rose Bowl, one or two tournament appearances. That's all.
In the next 4 years?
In the next 4 years.
I'll take that.
I mean, come on.
I'd love to go to Hey, while we're congratulating people, I would also like to send out my condolences to two members of this program.
Of this program?
Yeah, this program.
Who died?
Nobody died. Well, maybe your basketball team did. The University of Iowa on Wednesday night.
That was rough. Who did they lose to? I was watching. Oh, they lost to Wisconsin.
Yes.
That was nauseating.
Which is why I'm bringing this up.
Yeah, I can see that. Adam went to Wisconsin. I went to Iowa. If you're new to the program, everybody should know that. You're a Badger.
And our producer is a Hawkeye, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. That's right. The Hawkeye as well.
I said two members of this program.
Yeah. No,
there's only three of us. I know it can get confusing, but
I haven't watched a lot of Big Ten hoop outside of watching Northwestern play every single game that they've played, but I was watching Iowa and Wisconsin, and it was painful. So you should feel great that not only did you win the game, but I just was watching. I'm like, Hawkeyes are losing this game at home to Wisconsin's out of their mind now. Your guy Greg Gard.
Hey, by the way, your people are coming by. You should say hello to those are your people.
I see officers of the law, and I see, oh, we got Bernie Sanders folk.
Yes, they are.
All right. Should we give a little love to the burn dog? Let's hear what they're saying out there.
Might want to be careful.
There you go. They're yelling for Bernie outside.
Well, that explains why the fine police officers were here. They were ready for him.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it a huge throng of Bernie supporters, but
turn around the other way. Why don't you turn around the other way, Carmen?
Turn around the other way.
Behind you. It's a little bit of a bigger group than you thought.
Wow, huge group.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're only seeing a few of them.
All right.
Yeah, for though obviously this being radio, the Allstate Showcase Studios right now being basically swarmed. We have three windows, I mean, and two of them.
I mean, this is a sports show, but this is the first time that we've ever had, at least in my history at WGN, which dates back all the way to 2007. When did you start, Adam? 2009, I
was here
say?
In 2008, and then
yeah, that I've ever had a political rally right outside the studios. I mean, this is history for me. I don't know if it is. I'm assuming it is for you as well.
Yeah, I've never had this happen here.
When are the Trump supporters coming by? Are they at 4:15, Jacobson? Did you schedule Trump to come by at 4:15? Because we want to give. I think that isn't that.
Well,
it
has to be fair, right?
That's yeah. A rule in broadcasting, right? Bernie, and then is Hillary coming by later too? What about
we'd love to have her in studio. I know.
When's Rubio coming by to read some tweets that are misspelled? A lot of action going on here, Hogue.
This is a great start to our show. And we have a lot to get into, though, sports-wise as well.
Well,
another fine member of our WGN family here, the Chicago Blackhawks, are going crazy with their trades right now.
Hashtag all in, 312-981-7200.
In a good way.
Yeah, Blackhawk fans, feel free to spread your excitement with us. This is the Andrew Ladd moment in time when you saw Stan Bowman up in Winnipeg watching Ladd play. I'm like, you know, why would Stan Bowman, general manager of your Chicago Blackhawks, your great general manager, your three-time Stanley Cup champion, Stan Bowman, who knows Andrew Ladd extremely well, why would he have to go up to Winnipeg, right, to see Andrew Ladd in person? It had to be that he wanted to talk to him or talk to Kevin Cheveldayoff, the Jets GM, in person and shake a hand. But it was just kind of, I mean, that was a real all-in move, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. That didn't surprise me, though. I mean, we had been talking about him being a part of the Hawks here as a possibility, a real possibility. It's the moves yesterday piling on to that is what really surprised me.
Yeah, I was doing sports on the Rokan show yesterday as the new words were coming down that they were adding an Erhoff. Erhoff was coming over from the Kings as one of the great Blackhawks of all time that barely was here. Rob Scuderi, who came over from the Kings in the Trevor Daley deal and then was immediately sent to Rockford for salary cap purposes, and then they make this trade for more money, and now you've got depth with two more forwards coming in, Weiss and Fleischman, which, by the way, we're efforting some Blackhawks guests to break down everything that's going on. But you've got depth, you've got Ladd, and you've got a team that is just, you would think, primed, right? Back to back. I mean, I think it's incredible.
Well, here's the question I think to our listeners, 312-981-7200, as I'm periscoping the rally going on right outside the Showcase Studios right now. We're being swarmed by Bernie Sanders supporters.
Check them out at Adam Hogue on Twitter. You'll find the periscope, and then you can see everything that's going on. And by the way, I'm only wearing a hoodie in here because this studio is the coldest studio in the history of radio. It's very, very chilly.
Yeah, the people on Periscope are wondering why you're doing the show as the Grim Reaper.
Well, it's freezing in here.
But 312-981-7200. I think the question right now to Hawks fans is, are you surprised at how all in they've gone? I mean, I don't think the Ladd trade surprised anybody. But then the moves yesterday. You gave up Denault, who's one of your top prospects. You gave up another second rounder for 2018. Your first rounder this year. I mean, at what point are you mortgaging the future a little bit too much? It, especially because I already like this team.
That's fair.
I mean, and you add on Ladd, and I'm like, okay, this is great. You add on two more wingers yesterday, though.
But the last time you had a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion, right, the Detroit Red Wings all the way back 98. I mean, this is kind of a historic moment in time. You're going for your fourth cup in 7 years. And at some point, sure, they're going to fall off and, I don't know, be an average team again. But the fact that they want to just keep it rolling as long as they can, that's, to me, is incredibly, I love it. I really do. And it's something that other teams in town should try to emulate as far as getting one and then going for more and more and more. Like, they could easily be satisfied, right? And easily play it a little more secure. Just make sure, hey, we'll be right there down the line, and that's more protective. Not that Stan Bowman's got to worry about his job down the line, but, you know, if they completely fall off the map, then people will start looking around. He's like, no, we're going right now.
Yeah, and they got plenty of good years, obviously, from the core of their team. I don't think the regression for any of the big-time players is happening anytime soon. 312-981-7200. We have to hit the news here. And on the other end, we want to keep talking Hawks with you. I mean, is anyone worried about giving up too much in this situation to go all in for this season, but it certainly has put the Hawks in prime position to win another Stanley Cup, which, of course, is the goal. Here's what we got coming up on the show today, though. Really excited to talk some baseball with you. We are devoting an hour each to both the Cubs and the White Sox today to preview spring training, preview the season at 4 o'clock in the 4 o'clock hour. That is our Cubs hour. We're talking Cubs with you until 5. Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune will join us at 5 o'clock. We're switching to the White Sox, and we're going to go all in with the White Sox till 6. Rick Hahn was on the Steve Cochran show yesterday, the White Sox general manager. We will bring back some of that for you. And then later on in the program, as we jump into Wildcat Insider, we'll talk to Northwestern linebacker Anthony Walker.
Stud.
And Bryant McIntosh is going to join us too from the basketball team. So busy show, a lot to get to. And right now we're talking Blackhawks. We also need to sneak in some NFL Combine discussion at some point as well.
It wasn't completely in my hands. So, I'm very grateful that, ended up being Chicago and excited to be back in a Hawks uniform.
We're thrilled. Obviously, we're really excited to bring Andrew back. We've been working on this for several weeks now. I talked to Chevy maybe a month ago, and I just mentioned, if he ever gets to the point where he decided he was going to maybe move Andrew, that we were definitely a team that wanted to bring him back.
Great job, Stan. We're happy, being in the position we're in, and, it's not easy, maneuvering through the salary cap years and eras and days, and knowing we're up against it and finding ways to be creative. I commend him on doing a great job.
Yes, we do. That's Coach Q. Before that, Stan Bowman, your Blackhawks general manager. And the prodigal son coming home, Andrew Ladd. Ladd it up, ladd it in, lather it on, Ladd.
Getting his old number back as well as...
Yeah, how about that?
Marcus Kruger coughs it up.
Krugs.
Number 16.
He's had a little bit of an injury situation this year, hopefully back for the playoffs, giving up the old number 16 so Ladd can wear it and go into number 22. My name is Mark Harmon. His name is Adam Hogue. Our producer is Micah Jacobson. He can't see today. And are you all right in there, Jackal? Are you going to make it through the show? Do we need to get a replacement for you?
Everything's good.
Okay.
My vision's, it's starting to get a little bit better now. So
was it the Bernie supporters that brought
that
you
back?
That
was a lot of Bernie supporters.
Yeah,
not going to lie.
We should just recap what has happened already. We haven't even been on the air for 20 minutes. And quickly after coming on the air, how many Bernie supporters would you say were just here?
Maybe 1,000.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I'd say a civilized, wild throng of Bernie supporters just cascaded by the Allstate Showcase studio. And they all looked at you, Adam Hogue, and said, join us. And you said, I'm going to be in the studio for the next till 7 o'clock doing the beat. But you were very kind.
Right, yeah. I can't leave right now to join the rally. But they surrounded the studio here, which is, of course, right on Michigan Avenue. I've never had that happen before.
A lot of signs.
A radio first.
Yep, a lot of signs, a lot of passion, a lot of those fat head looks that Dave Bennett and Steve Cochran and Andrea Darlis and Mary Vandeveld all got from Northwestern. Do you have a fat head of yourself there? I'd love to get a fat head.
No. I mean,
my ego.
My head is a little fat to begin with.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, my ego probably shouldn't. It's a good thing that I haven't achieved the success in life where somebody would make a fat head for me, because that would just, that could be a problem. I might start acting differently, and the people like you would like me less than you already do, and I wouldn't want that to be the case.
Those fat heads were on display in the Northwestern student section today, I believe.
That's a good look. That's a very good look. Cats, by the way, bombed Rutgers, if you're just joining us, which was heard earlier on 720 WGN. We are talking Blackhawks and the wild moves of general manager Stan Bowman. Wild being, I'm saying that in a very positive way. Busiest GM in the league, right? And the deadline is at 3 o'clock on Monday. And, you're talking about wild throngs, Adam, being outside the studio. You could have another wild throng of Blackhawks red and white coming here right around the end of June, right?
Maybe this one I would actually get to enjoy a little bit. They've had 3 rallies and I haven't seen any of them.
Where have you been? What's wrong with you?
The first one is a fun radio story. It was back when I was still a part-time producer over at The Score. The Score.
W670. Yes, yeah. Okay.
And the one of the producers on the Good Morning Show there basically got so drunk after the Hawks won that he didn't show up for the show the next day.
That's not a good
which
job.
Which is kind of an important show, right, the next day right after the Hawks win the cup.
One thing in radio that it's important to do is actually show up for work. This is a key component.
Right.
It's not like, you know, if you don't do the sales that day, you don't do the sales that day. But not showing up for radio is tough. Go ahead.
Well, what do you think his punishment was?
Nothing.
No, he got punished.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He got suspended
Ooh.
For the next day, which was the rally.
Oh, so he's like, sweet.
And what do you think he did that day?
Continued to partake.
Right. And who got to fill in for him and work all day? I literally worked from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. that day.
Well, it's about time that...
Because there was a remote situation going on in Wrigleyville because the Cubs and the White Sox were also playing that day.
So that was Cup 1. What was Cup 2?
Cup 2 was my honeymoon. And that year, I was actually covering the Blackhawks up until... throughout the entire playoff run. But the wedding had been scheduled for after any kind of possible NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup Final situation. But what happened that year?
Didn't factor in the rally. And,
no,
and
there was a lockout.
And I was going to get there. There was a lockout.
Which pushed the whole season back 2 weeks. So I covered game one against the Bruins, and then I got married and was in Hawaii during the championship.
Were you there for 17 seconds? Or were you already gone?
No, we were in Hawaii watching in a bar in Maui, which surprisingly completely filled with Blackhawks
fans. Oh, I'm sure.
It was unreal.
That's awesome.
It was actually a pretty cool place to watch the Hawks win the Stanley Cup. But then we were on a plane coming home during the
rally. That's actually a good question. 312-981-7200. Where will you be come June when the Blackhawks win their fourth cup in 7 years and go back-to-back? Like, 'cause at this point, we might as well just start making the plans, right?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I like watching the games out. I like a nice, solid like run of bars in the middle of June, outdoor, you know, old town look is always solid.
Where have you been during the Cup?
I have no remembrance.
I think we should, as a show, go to Maui and watch the Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Jimmy
there.
DeCastro wants to pay for the show to go to Maui. I don't think there's any doubt about
that. We can cover the Cup celebration in Maui.
I mean, when you add in a Weiss and a Fleischman and a Ladd all within 3 days, you might as well, like, listen, you might as well start altering your plans for June right now. And I don't know, to be honest, you know, the breakdown, I know that Weiss comes in here as a guy that likes to rough it up, but he's also, you know, a skilled player as well. He's going to provide some depth, and Fleischman will do the same.
Sounds like a law office.
It does,
Weiss,
right?
Fleischman and Ladd?
Weiss, Fleischman, and Ladd. They definitely have an office on Madison.
Yeah.
And they charge probably like $7.50 an hour.
They're all going to be wingers, but it'd be, you know, you could put them all on the same line, and they could be...
Well, apparently Weiss and Fleischman...
You could call them the firm.
Weiss and Fleischman
the firm line.
Right. And, well, the firm in this case, Cruz, is actually going to be Tavo. Because apparently Tavo is going to get some consistency and play with Weiss and Fleischman. So Tavo, Weiss, and Fleischman, who, by the way, I mean, last year, by the end of... the Cup run, everybody loved Kimo. I mean, Kimo Timonen got love at the when they went to the White House last week. It was Kimo and Scott Darling, which was incredibly cool. Kimo, you had an incredibly rough run, and he had, you know, physically, and then your last game, you win the Cup. I mean, that's what's going to happen. By the end of June, Fleischman and Weiss, they're going to be selling jerseys out the yin-yang at the Blackhawks store that we were at last week in Old Orchard. That's what happens when you put that jersey on. Fleischman's going to be a hot... Every Fleischman lawyer in the city is going to now... His practice is going to go through the roof.
Yeah. It's possible. By the way, that's another part of this whole trade thing, is all these guys they added are going to be free agents.
Right. And it's going to be incredibly hard for Andrew Ladd to stick around money-wise. I'm sure he'd like to be there. I'm sure the Blackhawks would like to keep him, but that's going to be...
Kruger, too, that you're going to have to deal with. I mean, there's... I mean, it's hard. It's hard to ever criticize a team for going all in, and that's not. That's not what I'm doing here. I don't think that anyone really should. You always want your general manager to be winning a cup, and I never believe that if you have the opportunity to go all in and win this cup this year, that should be the focus, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you should never be like, well, let's try to win with what we have now. If someone's offering you what you think is a fair deal to improve this roster and go all in now, I completely agree with it. But it is certainly interesting to see where this team ends up going forward if all these guys are coming out of contract and meanwhile you're losing draft picks. However, as I've always said here on the show, at this point, Stan Bowman has earned the trust.
No question.
I mean, just trust him is, I think, what you should do.
312-981-7200 if you want to join the Blackhawks conversation. If you recall, too, Andrew Ladd was traded along with Brent Sopel back in the day, who's making a name for himself on the TV side of things and some radio as well, back on July 1st of 2010 to the Atlanta Thrashers? The Thrashers.
Yeah, which became the Winnipeg Jets.
Who became the Winnipeg Jets, and that's how good old Ladd was coming down from Winnipeg. So he went from Chicago to Atlanta to Winnipeg back to Chicago, which is one of the great travel itineraries I've ever heard over 6 years. You get a little warm Bucktown action, or Buckhead, I'm sorry. You ever been to Atlanta? A little Buckhead?
Right. I went to Atlanta one time for the Bears game a couple years ago. I didn't spend much time in the city. I flew in the day of the game and flew out the next morning.
Right to the Georgia Dome, right back home?
Yeah, it was a quick trip.
Rise up. People
didn't have much of a desire to hang out in Atlanta.
I liked Atlanta.
Really?
I like warm weather. You could throw me in just like the biggest podunk town in the South and I'll be good. As long as I got, you know, an internet connection and a Waffle House or something. 312-981-7200. We are efforting some Blackhawks guests for you. And also, Adam, you were down at the NFL Combine. There's some, I wouldn't call it big, but some Bears news moving around. And, of course, the draft creeping closer as well. So we maybe should dive into...
Yeah, some big decisions for the Bears in the next couple days.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll talk about that next. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
'Cause you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel.
The great Carole King,
like,
which is the theme song for our Blackhawks guest.
That's his theme song?
Yes, he loves Carole King. Adam, is this the first time you've ever talked to Chris Hine?
Probably on the radio, not in person.
Well, Chris Hine is joining us right now, who has been instrumental in the Blackhawks' last three deals. He's been working side-by-side with Stan Bowman. Chris? Yeah.
Chris, are you in any danger of being traded?
Taking all the credit for these deals, yes, absolutely. You know, I keep checking my phone. We'll see if they're going to deal me before Monday. You know, there's plenty of time to go here.
All right, so I don't think anyone's necessarily surprised by the Andrew Ladd acquisition. It's been a name that's been out there. Obviously, the connection to the Hawks makes a lot of sense. But what about last night and those moves that were made to keep adding on? Any surprise there on your part in terms of how much maybe Stan Bowman right now is mortgaging the future?
Yeah, I think he senses that there is a window that is wide open right now, and that's why he's making these moves. You don't know 3-4 years down the road what your window is going to look like. You know, Marian Hossa is not getting any younger. You know, Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, those guys aren't going to get any younger here. You know, Taves and Kane are a little younger, you know, still in their mid to late 20s, so they're going to be around a while. But these other core players that you have, you don't quite know how they're going to perform down the line here, if they're going to perform at the same high level for a few more years. You have the chance right now to win another cup. You know, this team is, before these deals, was still one of the best teams in hockey. And after these deals, you could, you know, you can make the argument that it might be the best in hockey. I still think they might have needed a little help along their defense, which is kind of why I was a little surprised to see the deal for the two Montreal guys last night, and the fact that they're basically forsaking any help on the defense. But they felt like they needed that forward depth, that ability to score across all four lines. And with these trades, they have that now.
Well, Fleischman made it here, right, Chris, because he has a proper visa, but Weiss is in trouble and can't apparently get to Chicago, which might be a negative if he wants to play tomorrow versus the Capitals at the United Center, 11:30 faceoff right here on 720 WGN. By the way, Judd Surratt with the pregame at 11. What do you know about the visa issue? And these two played a ton together, right? I mean, they're familiar with each other as far as playing on the same line with the Canadiens. So you're just sliding Tavo in and that line's just going to roll. Is that the plan?
that's the plan on paper right now. You know, whether or not that's going to be in execution over the next couple of weeks, we'll see. I'd expect, Stan Bowman said today, he hopes within a week that Weiss is here, but you know, they're not really in any danger of missing the playoffs. So, you know, Weiss will get this sorted out, and you know, as long as he's here, you know, sooner rather than later, it's going to be okay. Yeah. Well, that's one of the things you're always concerned about though, with these trades is chemistry and finding a fit. So it's interesting. They brought over these two guys who played together in Montreal. You have Andrew Ladd, who was a Blackhawk at one point in time, and Christian Ehrhoff, the defenseman they traded for, they think his style of play might be able to fit with the Blackhawks more so with the Kings. So these three deals have been made basically trying to find a right fit, a seamless fit, and over the next couple of months here. You look at the Antoine Vermette trade last year, I think they might have learned a little lesson from that, that just because you get a big name, it doesn't always mean it's going to be the best fit. Now, Vermette ended up working out in the end because he had a great playoffs, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals. But initially, that deal looked like it was kind of a bust because he was getting healthy scratched and Quenneville wasn't playing him that much. But I think this time around, they learned a little lesson from that. They get a guy who's been here before, an Andrew Ladd, and they get two guys that have played together in Fleischman and Weiss. And they think Teuvo Teravainen and his game is so versatile that he's going to be able to fit with those two guys or anybody they play him with, quite frankly.
I'm a little confused, and I'm thinking some of our listeners are as well, as far as why it's going to take Weiss a week to get here. I mean, I once traveled to Shanghai, and that was a bit of a process to get the old visa, but I was able to get it done quickly here, Christopher Hine, and this guy's an NHL player. Why are you saying a week? Do you have a good grasp on the visa process?
I don't. It's a complicated process. The other two guys, Ehrhoff and Fleischman, have green cards, which allows them to work in this country, and Weiss doesn't have a green card. So I think that's where the issue is. Because he's being employed by an American company, you know, and he's setting up residence here in Chicago, I think that's where the issue is, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So, one of your listeners could correct me if I'm wrong on that.
I mean, what kind of foresight is that by Weiss? Now I'm starting to doubt the trade. Maybe Stan Bowman has finally made a bad deal because, I mean, who doesn't think that he's going to get, you know, eventually could get traded to a...
I wouldn't consider it a major issue because Richard Panik, who came over in January, in early January, he was here within a week or a week and a half. So it's something that isn't really a big obstacle. And like I said, they don't need to make a playoff push here, you know. So as long as, you know, Weiss can get this sorted out in a week or a week and a half, which I think he will, and you know, history suggests that's about how long this takes. I wouldn't be too concerned about it, to be honest with you.
Just a quick side note, the Bears had a similar situation this year with Paul Lasicki, running back from Australia, who had been was in the Arizona Cardinals training camp the entire time, and then he got cut, and the Bears wanted to sign him. They actually did sign him, and then they realized, oh, there's a visa issue. He can't come to Chicago, even though he had been in Arizona. And they actually cut him and then re-signed him a couple weeks later once that visa issue was all worked out. So this is the kind of stuff happens.
We're talking to Chris Ryan for the Tribune.
It happens. Yeah. It happened with Marcus Kruger early in the year, too, because once Marcus Kruger signed a contract, then they had to sort out his visa issues. Until he signed a contract, they couldn't sort out his visa issues. It's all very complicated and red tape, but in the end, I don't think it's going to matter much.
He's Chris Hine, covering the Blackhawks for the Chicago Tribune. A lot of salary cap ramifications in these deals. I was reading your story in the Tribune today, trying to figure it all out. It's complicated. You seem to have a good grasp of it. So,
good job, Chris.
Where do they stand in terms of the cap, and is there any room to make even more deals if they want to?
Well, my dad was a math teacher for 40 plus years. So if I didn't have a grasp on math, I think I might be disowned and thrown out of the family. But there's not much room after these two deals or getting these two guys from Montreal last night. There's not much room for them to make a significant move, which is why I think you heard Stan Bowman today say that it's most likely that they're done. You know, who knows if they're able to unload Brian Bickle on somebody, you know, but they've been trying to unload Brian Bickle on somebody for about a year now. So they haven't yet. That would cost a lot in terms of a salary dump and, you know, and I don't know what the corresponding move would be there, but I do think that with the limited cap space they have. You know, as of yesterday, they were just a couple hundred thousand, projected to be a couple hundred thousand under the cap by the end of the season. I just don't think there's enough room there now to make a significant splash before Monday.
Chris, appreciate you joining us on short notice. I know it's been a busy few days for you. Hopefully, with all these trades out of the way, you can actually enjoy some of your weekend.
Well, not till Monday night. Once the trade deadline passes, I'll take a deep breath and maybe go out to dinner or something like that.
Sounds good. All right, thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it. That's Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're diving in some baseball, a full hour devoted to your Chicago Cubs next here on 720 WGN.
We loved having him on the club. We were proud of him for all that he accomplished and that he had earned the right to be a free agent. And that we should stay in touch because we'd love to have him back.
We had been speaking through Theo and my agent had been engaged the whole offseason, so it wasn't a matter about who and Theo and them came up later, but they've always been here.
Did you leave a 3-year guarantee offer on the table?
Yeah, I did. I did. Because, my heart's here.
Yeah, you did, Dexter Fowler. Yeah, you did.
I know you like that.
That was sneaky.
3 years, $35 odd million from the Baltimore Orioles. No. My heart's with Chicago. My heart's with the Cubs. My heart's with Joe Maddon. And I want to hug you, Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo and Dexter Fowler. Who knew that they were so tight? Welcome back to The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. It's 720 WGN. We are talking Cubs. This entire hour, it's Cubs baseball. Unless we get derailed, which could happen, but probably won't. Here's a simple question for you, as we'd like to talk with you as well. Because right now, right, everybody thinks that the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Vegas thinks that it's 4-1. Dexter Fowler feels it. Everyone's feeling it.
But I know what you're going to get out of here, because that's like sort of the general, everyone thinks the Cubs are going to win.
Right.
But do you really think your Cubs are going to win the World Series? That's our question to you as we start this preview.
Yeah.
312-981-7200.
Yeah.
Do you, sitting right now at home, in your car, wherever you are, getting psyched up for this Cubs season, do you really believe that this is the year, which has been said how many times?
7,000 million. But, and
for the last century.
And for those of you that don't think it, I would like to hear, because I like to keep myself very level and, I like riding the roller coaster of life, Adam, but I also like to have perspective, and things can always go wrong. So I would like to hear from people as to what they think can go wrong with this powerhouse that Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, Joe Maddon, Tom Ricketts, who, by the way, was attacked by Donald Trump this week. We can get to that as well.
Bizarre.
Extremely bizarre. What possibly could go wrong? 312-981-7200. It could be something real that could go wrong or just some Cubby occurrence that you could see happening in the 2016 Cubs season. Because you look at it, right? You got Dexter at the top. You've got a host of guys who could hit second from Jason Hayward to Ben Zobrist to Kyle Schwarber. You could do it a million. I mean, he's got all Joe Maddon has is options, right? I mean, Schwarber could play left. He could play catcher.
We were talking about this before the show. I don't know how to fit all these guys in. This is going to be the most fun year Joe Maddon has, assuming they win baseball games, which they should. Joe Maddon is going to have an absolute blast putting together this lineup every day and watching it play out on the field.
And it'll be fun for him, but it'll also be
fun for us, too.
Yeah, it'll be a balancing act, keep everybody happy, because that is, people like playing time. They want to be on the field, and he's got a lot of talent. 312-981-7200-720-WGN. We got taxi driver Bob starting
all
off our
right,
cup.
I'm leading off the festivities with the Cubs, man.
You're our Dexter
so
Fowler.
About the Cubs this year, yeah. That was really confusing. I thought that was etched in stone with him going to Baltimore. I'm glad he's back, but I just am kind of baffled as to what the lineup is going to be, who's going to be playing left field. A friend of mine was saying maybe they're going to trade Soler away. I said, are you crazy? We potentially haven't seen him come into his prime, and you want to get rid of a guy that has potential great talent like his. Then they have, you know, three catchers, and I'm not a big Ross fan at all. I think that his batting's atrocious, and yes, he can manage pitchers, they're veteran pitchers, but, you know, I mean, they have Schwarber's got to get in the lineup. And could you imagine the Cubs if the National League went to designated hitter and they had pitchers facing the Cubs lineup with a designated hitter in there? I would be hate to pitch against them.
Taxi driver, you sound excited and concerned all at the same time.
Not really concerned. I'm just baffled what the lineup is going to be. I think, like you said, Dexter Fowler's going to be one. I was thinking Russell would be two. I thought Rizzo would be three. I thought Hayward would be four. Bryant would be fifth. Schwarber would be sixth.
We're gonna put you on hold, taxi driver, and we appreciate the phone call, and I'm gonna break down the lineup for you. I don't think you're on with what it's gonna do. Go ahead.
Because I don't think he mentioned Ben Zobrist.
Right.
One of your biggest, like, think about how good of a problem that is. Like, taxi driver Bob there seemed to have a pretty good handle on what's going on with the Cubs and some valid points he brought up. But he didn't even think of Ben Zobrist, one of your best acquisitions, in my opinion. Guy I would have loved to see on the White Sox that the Cubs made. What a great problem to have.
All right, 312-981-7200. You want to jump on your concerns. What could go wrong? And yes, Adam's question too. Are they going to win it? Which just scares me. But I think your Ben Zobrist point, I think he hit second, Ben Zobrist.
I think so too.
So I think it goes like, it's probably Fowler one, the Zob two. I think Rizzo's your three hitter.
Yeah.
Bryant's your four.
Yeah.
Jay Hay is your five.
Okay.
Then you got a Schwarbs or Soler in the six hole.
Jesus, that's good.
And then you're rolling Russell seven and a Miggy Montero eight. Throw your pitcher in. Or maybe Russell hits nine and they do the whole pitcher hitting eight thing.
They probably will sometimes.
And
unbelievable lineup.
And listen, last year in the playoffs, the Schwarb was up there hitting two. And looking pretty good up there.
Okay, look, and
who really cares, actually, by the way? Just throw them all out there and let's go.
Well, Bob said he's baffled. It kind of has a negative connotation to it. I don't think he meant it to do that. But here's what they're doing that if I'm a Cubs fan, I love. Theo has always just tried to acquire assets, right?
#Theo.
Just get those assets. And let the season play out. It is such a long season. It is stupid to, and you could probably accuse the White Sox of doing this last couple of years. Okay, there's our nine. Here's our starting rotation. Here's our bullpen. Let's go. It's the first week of April. We're going to ride this all the way to October. It's unrealistic. The season is way too long. There's too many variables at play. There's too many guys that regress. There's too many guys that get hurt. Then there's guys that overperform. And you have no idea, no matter how long you've been in the game, how long you've scouted, how many teams you've put together, you have no idea how it's going to all play out. What I love about Theo is here he sees an opportunity with Dexter Fowler, still on the market, who they had already said goodbye to, and he says, well, one more asset. Yeah, we have too many outfielders. Yeah, we have a guy in Schwarber. We don't really know where he's going to play. We're going to let him try to play catcher. You know what's going to happen is April's going to happen. May's going to happen. June's going to happen. And you're going to be in the middle of July. You're going to have options. People are going to be hurt. There's going to be guys on the market. You're going to have a weakness somewhere, whether it's pitching or hitting. And you're going to be able to make a trade to acquire that key piece for October.
Yep, that's all true. They have a... You have a Baez asset. You've got a Soler asset. All that stuff's going on. 312-981-7200. What could go wrong? Jeff, you're in Northlake talking Chicago Cubs baseball on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
We're talking baseball. That means spring's right around the corner.
Heck yeah. I'm going to Arizona on Monday.
I rode my bike down the Lakeshore Drive path, whatever you want to call it today, Jeff. I'm in the mood. Go ahead, man.
Yep. Hey, you know what? The one thing I was looking forward to, of course, I want the ultimate goal is to win a championship. To have as many assets as the Cubs have is right now is awesome. But I do myself personally want to see either Soler or Baez or both of them get a year where they get 500 to 600 plate appearances just to see what we really have in them. Now, I'm going to take it that Theo already knows what he's got in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He must know. He must have a clue on what the upswing is. And you know, platooning Schwarber catcher in left field. I don't know if that's a good idea. I was talking to my son last night. I think Schwarber has potential of going 45 in a year for home runs. He's just he's that good as he matures. He could probably hit more homers in a year than Bryant. So I just don't want to really see him on the bench, even though I love Soler. This is so perplexing; it's unbelievable.
Jeff, you're the man. Appreciate you. 312-981-7200.
Well, look, you acquire prospects, whether you draft them, trade them, whatever, and you always hear GMs sort of keep things positive, right? Okay, I know this is a Cubs hour, but the White Sox have this shortstop in Tim Anderson, who they've been saying is the next guy forever, right? I'm skeptical, because here we are going into spring training another year, and it's not his job, and it seems like he should probably be up there at this point. So in the Cubs' case, you traded for Rizzo. He started performing pretty much right away, right? Chris Bryant, you brought him up. He started performing right away. Schwarber, you brought him up earlier than you thought. He started performing right away. In Soler and Baez's case, it has not gone that way. Now, that doesn't mean they can't develop into good players, but as the caller just said, you kind of guess that Theo knows what he has here, right? Now, Soler had a great postseason. That should be encouraging. But, look, this situation, it just doesn't call for 500 plate appearances anymore. It can't.
No, not...
You're too good.
Not right now, but listen, he can have a very productive season and bat, you know, whatever it is, 350 times. 312-981-7200 as far as Soler. I think that Schwarber will be closer to 500 at-bats. It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard to take him out.
It's very hard to take him out of the lineup. What could possibly go wrong with the Cubs? 312-981-7200. Let's hear your concerns and maybe Cubby occurrences. We got Mark Gonzalez, too, from the Chicago Tribune. Will be with us after 4:30. And tonight, Portland blazes a trail into Chicago to battle the Bulls. Watch all the action of Bulls Trailblazers tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. We are talking baseball and not about the right hamstring tendonitis, thank God, of one D. Rose, who was questionable tonight.
General soreness, my bad.
312-981-7200. What could go wrong? Cubs, White Sox in the 5 o'clock hour, 720 WGN.
Who knows?
I can't even imagine. I think... you know, the dream is there. The city's ready for it. This team's ready for it. And it's time for it to happen. It's way overdue. So looking forward to that debacle that it's going to be.
We have a good team. Got a good group on paper. We're fortunate enough to play with a lot of good hitters. It's another good lineup I get to be a part of. Looking forward to that. And we're just hopefully we can stay healthy and all grow together. We got a young group for the most part. Everyone's talented. And we just want to put that together and feed off each other. Championship.
That was Ben Zobrist.
You almost forget they signed him.
Hashtag BZob. $56 million they signed him for.
I was watching Comcast Sports the other day, and they flashed to an interview. I'm like, who is that?
The other guy, by the way, in that soundbite was Jason Hayward. Who is that Ben Zobrist who won a World Series with the Kansas City Royals last year after...
My favorite offseason acquisition, by the way.
That was
I forgot about.
That one kind of hurt me because now we don't have the Starlin Castro walk-up song, which was probably my favorite thing that happened at Wrigley Field last year. Do you have that on cue there, Jacobson? No chance.
Speaking of guys I already forgot about.
That was so much fun.
Starlin Castro. Don't need him.
Probably not.
Anyone out there right now going, you asked a question to our callers, and we'll get to some of these calls right now, but what could go wrong?
I mean, how are you not going to miss that? Honestly, that was so good. Like a little...
Like, do you think anyone in May is going to be like...
I will be.
They miss Starlin Castro.
Not him, but the song.
Okay, I know, but...
How do you miss... Once they started playing this song, the guy became like a Hall of Fame player. I mean, basically.
And then he was bad.
No, he was great. He was phenomenal.
Oh, you're talking about last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 312-981-7200.
Mark.
Mark, Indiana, 720 WGN. Go ahead, man.
How you guys doing? Hey, I'm all about the Cubs. I'm excited about them. Everybody's talking about hitting. My big issue is pitching. Pitching will take you to the championship. We'll win you a World Series. Arrieta pitched a lot of innings last year. You know, Lester didn't look great. I think he'll have a bounce back year. But I don't think we have the pitching depth in the starting rotation to get us where we need to go. The bullpen looks all right. Still don't think it's solid. But I really think that if anything's going to really stop us this year, it's going to be pitching. So I'm hoping that they're willing to uplift some of those young players to get some good pitching in, because if not, we ain't going to make it all the way.
Mark, you're called to show. I'm putting you on hold because you're hitting on where my concern is. Number one, what you touched on, Jake Arrieta, 90 more innings last year. That's a huge jump. Baseball history, incredibly unkind to pitchers who have made that leap. And let's not forget, too, the guy went 22-6 last year with an ERA of -0.3. I mean, he was that good, right? I mean, is he really going to be that good again? And here's the – and Lester should be better, but maybe he's just kind of getting a little bit old.
But here's what you really want to see, right? Okay, Hendricks. A guy like Kyle Hendricks needs to take a step forward, be more reliable. Sure. You want to go into August thinking that he can start in the playoffs for you, right? And that it's not worth going to the bullpen in the fourth inning, right? So that's the kind of – it goes back to what I was saying in our last segment. These assets that the Cubs have acquired, it puts them in a position where you can now evaluate Kyle Hendricks and be okay with it being the first half of the season. Maybe you're not winning every single game he's starting, but you want to see that progress. And then you evaluate, all right, can we rely on this guy in October? And if not, now you're going out and you're using your Solaires and your Baezes to possibly add another starter.
Right, bolster the old rotation, which very well could happen, and they'd be looking for a young, controllable starter if they were going to make a deal like that. But, you know, who we didn't mention there, John Lackey, I mean, you're talking about a 37-year-old guy, okay? This is no spring chicken either. And he threw 218 innings last year and pitched in the postseason.
Well, you ask the question, what could go wrong? I mean, if Jake Arrieta's arm falls off, you're in trouble, right?
I would say significant trouble.
Lester or Arrieta, all of a sudden you have an arm issue and you're out for, God forbid, the whole season.
Things look a little different. What could go wrong, or do you already have your plan? Are you leaving the month of October open so you can just enjoy the World Series run? 312-981-7200-720-WGN. This is The Beat. He's Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Harmon. And this is Kurt. South Elgin wants to talk some Jorge Soler. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, you were saying Soler had a great postseason. Yeah, he did against the Cardinals, but once the weather got cold, that guy doesn't play worth a hoot. He had a horrible April last year. If they would have played the Dodgers instead of the Mets, I think they would have made the World Series.
Whoa. You think just because they're playing in L.A. instead of New York for a few games, that Soler carries the Cubs to the World Series?
No, not that he carries them, but he hates cold weather. He can't hit it. That's for sure.
Well, hold on a second here, sir. let's break this down.
Look at his April last year. He had 2 home runs and 5 RBIs.
Well, he didn't hit. How many home runs did he hit for the season? I mean, it wasn't like he had 10 for the year. Which, by the way,
he just hates cold weather.
Okay, so
I hate cold weather too.
I mean, Kurt, we love you, and we appreciate the phone call, and you're probably right that some of those guys, when they wear the ski hat and it's like not that cold out, I'm like thinking to myself,
Soler does that.
Yeah. Can you kind of just Dan Hampton this up or OB this up and not look like you're that cold when it's like 48 degrees or 52 degrees? It's really not that bad out there, that type of deal. But Soler, I mean, it's hard to pick out Jorge Soler last year. The playoffs, the guy went like 9-for-9. He didn't make an out, and he was hitting bombs, like when they needed him, too. The whole team struggled against the Mets. Nobody hit you want to talk about a concern. I mean, the New York Mets have better pitching all day, and they're young,
yes.
and they're probably not going anywhere. I mean, you're talking about Matt Harvey. You're talking about some monsters behind him in DeGrom and Syndergaard. Those guys, I mean, to me, I actually think the Mets should be the favorite. Because at the end of the day, pitching does win. But we'll see what Mark Gonzalez thinks, right? Get a little perspective from good old Gonzo coming back here after the 4:30 news. 312-981-7200 if you want to join the Cubs conversation. What could go wrong? Gonzo! Down in spring training next, 720 WGN.
Kyle Hendricks in the back end of the rotation. And also, what do you think or is it too early to even say, but what are your expectations for how the back end of the rotations get sorted out here?
You know, everybody looks great. At this time of year, everybody's coming off a strong winter. They address all their needs. But the reality is that they're going to need close to 200 innings from Jason Hamill. Now, in his defense, he looks great. He addressed some mechanical and nutrition issues in the offseason. He does look solid. Looks like a guy who will be able to give him a strong second half as well as the first half, but he's still got to do it. I'm not concerned with him as much as Hendricks, especially with the competition that they have in there. A guy like Adam Warren, who can start and did okay, pitching in a tough American League East. For Kyle Hendricks, it's going to be more the same. He's just got to be sharper now, you know, with changing speed, changing the tilt on his pitches. He had mentioned that to me a couple of days ago, just not being so predictable. You know, we all know he doesn't throw the ball by guys that much, but he's got a superb changeup, and I think you just got to be a little more sharp in that regard, and maybe give a hitter's a different angle to look at sometimes. Maybe not so much over the top, maybe three quarter, but he is working on those things. I just think that he's going to be in for a battle because Adam Warren has been battle tested and has a little more experience in him. And I'm saying that Kyle's going to lose his job, but certainly they're not going to hand him the fifth spot.
Last time the Cubs won a playoff series, that would be 2004. They went out and signed Greg Maddux. You had Kerry Wood. You had Mark Pryor. You had huge expectations. And then you had shoulders falling off, which I think is the biggest concern for this team. Tell me how Jake Arrieta looks, Gonzo, because, you know, 90 more innings last year, a big leap, and I know they're going to be cautious with him in spring training. I'm sure you've seen him throw, and what would you say?
Like he looked like he did when he faced the Pirates in the wild card game. He had a lot of batters buckling during live BP yesterday. Just great velocity. The sharpness in pitches this time of year was extremely impressive. So I know it's only that was live hitting for the first day, but I just think he's got to stay healthy because he was throwing hard out of the chute.
Eating that kale, doing that yoga, rocking those Pilates. I mean, you have so much in common with Arrieta, Gonzo. It's unbelievable.
I've been on a Pilates machine only twice, and that was to rehab my knee last summer. So that's as close as I've come to comparing to him.
At least you've been there, man. At least you've done it. Gonzo, we love you.
Back at you.
Appreciate the time, as always. Mark Gonzalez from Spring Training, talking a little Cub. Do you hear what he just said, Hogue?
Well, he sort of said he loves you.
That and Arrieta's firing fastballs and curveballs by Cub hitters.
He also said in the answer before that everyone looks good right now this time of year.
Yeah, that's true.
200 innings from Hamill.
Well, that
seems like a high expectation.
That's a big Jason Hamill goal. I thought that Hamill had the bad diet. I was going to follow up on that, but I kind of just let it go for a second.
He needs to get on that Arrieta kale.
Yeah,
the Dave Bennett kale.
I mean, come on, Jason Hamill. Enough with the the fast food or whatever you're doing. Hey, the Cubs were under attack by somebody this week.
Yes.
We are going to have some fun with that coming on back here.
And a texter brought up a very interesting and valid question. I think.
Well, we can do that too, as we wrap up our Cubs talk.
It's 720 WGN.
Well, I mean, it's a little surreal when Donald Trump threatens your mom. But you know, the fact is, whether it's my mom or my dad on his ending spending stuff, or my sister on marriage equality, or my brothers, what they do, or what we do with the team, you know, we're pretty much an open book. I mean, we stand up for what we believe in. We support the causes that we think are important. You know, that's what America should be. So that's who we are. Look, if we had something to hide, you guys would have found it by now, I'm sure. So I have no idea.
The Ricketts are so American, it's frightening. On all sides of the aisle in the family.
It is an incredible family across the board.
Very diverse within a family as far as their beliefs, right? Got some serious conservatives and some serious liberals all across the zone. Papa Fred would never have allowed that in my family. You are going one way and one way only, young son Mark. Know that, or else you will be banished. And I do thank him for that. 720 WGN, this is The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen. You are Adam Hogue. That was Tom Ricketts.
Responding to what was basically blackmail by Donald Trump on Twitter on Monday morning. What a great way to wake up on a Monday morning, I thought. Open up the Twitter machine and see that tweet from Donald at Real Donald Trump writing, "I hear the Ricketts family, who own the Chicago Cubs, are secretly spending money against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide." That is a threat.
Yeah, that is, I suppose, but it's...
And money's involved.
Good old Don.
I mean, that's blackmail.
No, he's playing dirty. That's what the Don does. Made me want to actually support the Cubs more than I already do as a half-season ticket holder, kind of.
So are we going from the president being a White Sox fan to the next president not getting along with the Chicago Cubs? And a texter brought up a little while ago, and I think it was a great point. Texter from the 773 named Grandma Hawk. "So when the Cubs win the World Series, and God forbid Trump's president, do they get invited to the White House?"
Great question.
"And do they accept if they are invited?"
My take is, well, number one, thank you for the God forbid there. God forbid. This cannot happen. Please do not allow this to happen. I'm getting terrified, by the way. I'm calling up all my political experts. He's not winning, is he? Like, come on. Please.
I don't think so, but...
I mean, I had like a 20-minute conversation with Jeff Carlin, who produces the Rokan show yesterday. It did settle me down. But regardless,
He settled you down?
Well, he seemed to know what he was talking about. I believed him. You know, you know how you have that? Like, there's certain people that you look at and you just trust their political knowledge? It's kind of like you with the Bears. Like, when I look at you, they're not really going to draft a quarterback and, you know, get rid of Jay Cutler, are they? And you say they may draft one, but they're not going to get rid of Cutler.
Right.
And then I believe you.
Right, correct.
So when I said he's not really going to win the election, is he? Or is he doesn't. I mean, a lot of people don't think that they're going to somehow allow him even to win the nomination for the Republican Party. But to the question, do the Cubs go? I don't think. I think they have to go, don't they? Even if the real Don is there. Don't you have to go to the White House when the president calls?
I mean, he threatens the owner.
It's unbelievable.
Over money. And not, but because there's money going against Trump. Significant amount of money, right?
I guess.
Specifically against him.
Well, good. God bless.
Well, I'm not.
People with a lot of dough, they can do whatever they want.
Well,
right?
I'm just painting the scenario of Trump getting into the White House. He's probably not going to be a Cubs fan, is all I'm saying.
And that's okay. That's okay. The leader, I mean, Obama, at least on his, when the White Sox were there, he said he'd even take the Cubs now. You know,
Obama's...
He's rooting for one
politically
more...
Politically correct.
Well, right, but he's out...
The Trumpinator's not...
He's out there, though, with his White Sox love. I mean, right? He went with
the... He's out there.
Well, he's a Sox fan. He's a South Side guy.
He doesn't hide it. Why should he hide it?
I mean, he shouldn't. He absolutely should not.
Okay.
And that's a beautiful thing. But he said when the Blackhawks were there that he wants them to squeeze out one more visit before he has to go off into whatever he's going to do. And he's willing to, you know, welcome the Bulls or the Bears or the White Sox or even the Chicago Cubs, which is easily the best chance, right?
Well... Besides the Hawks again.
Right. Oh, no. Hawks are far and away, but as far as somebody else getting in there.
No question.
Right. So, all right. 312-981-7200. We are moving on to the South Side, coming back here with the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, speaking of the Sox, we now turn our attention to a full hour of a White Sox preview coming up. Obviously, a lot more concerns than the Cubs. I feel like we just spent an hour trying to invent concerns for the Cubs. That's how good they are.
It's a guaranteed. The hunt for Blue October is going to be back in October. We're going to be sitting here and we're going to be celebrating. It's going to be phenomenal. It'll be a disaster and we won't be. One of the two is going to happen.
I am still impressed at how well you kept your composure during the NLCS last year.
I
mean, you were obviously sad, not happy, but you and really the entire Cubs fan base, very well composed.
Well, was
to the Cubs losing in the fashion they did, which I was the one who was sitting here, I think, in this very chair, saying that this is unacceptable.
Yeah, well,
get mad, get angry. How is no one? You just got swept. You got dominated.
We beat the Cardinals.
It was yeah.
No, it was enough. That was we all know that.
That's a loser's mentality. I said it then, and I still believe it.
Of course. What do you think this is? It's 108 years. 720 WGN.
I have made my, I've drawn my comparisons to like Little League or whatever, but I can't remember specifically how I'd done it. I like the idea that they're out here just playing. I spoke about that with Javi in a sense about playing a whole bunch of different positions. Takes a little bit of emphasis off of his offense. Thus, I think he'll play better offense. I think when a guy comes to the ballpark, our guys have to come ready to do a lot of different things. So, again, their mind just can't just be drawn or focused to one thing, whether I'm hitting or not. Because I think that's what gets guys in trouble more than anything, is where they're at on that hitting spectrum right now, and their day depends on that. I'd rather their day depend on us just winning, and then what can they do to help us win? And a lot of these guys can help us win in a variety of different ways.
That's Cubs manager Joe Maddon. Welcome back to The Beat. Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen here with you on 720 WGN in the middle of an hour of Cubs talk as we get ready for baseball right around the corner. And we go out to our phone line right now and bring in Mark Gonzalez, who covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. He's in Arizona right now. How you doing, Gonzo?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Very well. I want to start. Let's start with the Dexter Fowler stuff from a couple days ago. If I still have any unanswered question about this whole ordeal that happened, is why his agent, Casey Close, was so upset and issued that scathing statement, ripping up the Orioles, ripping the reporters that reported that he was had agreed to a deal with the Orioles. Have you been able to learn anything about that situation and why his agent was so upset?
Well, I think because at that time, Tuesday, is when it first surfaced that he was allegedly signed, sealed, delivered to the Orioles, and that he was going to take a physical. I believe it was going to be a Thursday morning to seal the deal. But as Theo explained, around that time, they'd agreed the terms with the Cubs. And I think there are certain procedures that happen before a deal's officially announced by the club. First of all, the Orioles never announced the deal yet. All the reports you saw from Baltimore reporters were that it was a done deal, according to a team source. So if you connect the dots, then somebody who might have jumped to conclusions thinking that Dexter was coming to Baltimore when you know he wasn't going there. And then yeah, on top of that, you know, Adam Jones, who he's very, very, very good friends with, told people on the record that he thought he was coming there. So when we got back to Dexter on Friday, as kind of wrap up some loose ends, he had said that he never verbally agreed to a deal with the Orioles, nor had he told Adam Jones that he was coming to Baltimore. All he said was that, hey, it'd be great to play together someday. That's all he said in regards to any connection with the Orioles, but it was this Adam Jones. And as far as Casey Close goes, he's entitled to his opinion to blast the Orioles and reporters, but at the same time, he could have came out and just diffused the situation by saying, no, my guy does not have a deal in place with the Orioles. He could have done that well before the Cubs deal was official. In fact, he had like about 36 hours to do so. But he's entitled to his opinion. I mean, he's very tight-lipped, period. So at least he stayed consistent until after we're said and done.
Well, and that's Gonzo. That's what stood out to me, too, is that he didn't – all of a sudden he was mad once the whole deal was done, but he never said anything before that. And that I don't know, that just seems suspicious to me.
Well, I've gotten messages from agents who wonder about this deal simply because it was a below-market deal in terms of the fact that he turned down a qualifying offer as well as 2 and 3 year deals from the Orioles at roughly the same annual average value, maybe a little less, but it was, you know, 3 years. So, this thing, it has so many trails to it, but the fact is he's with the Cubs and everybody seems happy and dandy in Mesa.
Well, let's give you some props, though, because one of the things I do with my life is follow at MD Gonzalez on Twitter. And you were in prime position, Mark Gonzalez, taking pictures as Dexter Fowler came out. You seemed to have a little inkling that this was going on ahead of perhaps others in the media. Can you confirm that you had been tipped off by anyone?
No, it was sheer luck. I mean that. I was sheer luck. I walked out there to watch the workout, and then with another reporter, and I saw Dexter and Theo Epstein. I'm thinking they're about 20 yards in front of me. I'm thinking, wait a sec, is that him? It is him. And then he kind of turned around and smiled, and you know, his smile was so distinctive. You knew it was him. And then Theo kind of had a smirk on his face as he kept walking toward the field. You connect the dots, and there you go. But I mean, I truthfully, I had the shakes tweeting this because I was stunned. I mean, I was the last person who thought he was coming back to the Cubs just based on the moves they made in the offseason. The stuff I heard about, you know, he had six great weeks, but that was it. And the metrics people beating up his defense. So I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time.
Hashtag reporting there, going with your instincts. Because if you look, and just to give people a clue, like if you look on Twitter, Gonzo's like way up the path before he gets to the field. So it was like, I thought you had positioned yourself there, but you said it was pure luck. But hey, way to be quick with the phone. Very, very skilled. That's something you would do, Adam Ho, covering the Chicago Bears. Hey, you don't think he's here more than 1 year, do you, Gonzo, before we move on from Dexter? This is a 1 year thing, and then he's going to get paid.
Yeah, I'd probably be shocked more if he was around here in 2017.
Yeah, I think that
right.
That would make sense.
This is a 1 year in the sun type of move.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about how this all fits together. I mean, I've been saying here on the show, Gonzo, that I think Joe Madden's going to have a blast every day figuring out his lineup and then watching how it plays out. He's got so many options here, so many pieces to work with. I don't think we can say for sure what's going to happen, but how do you see this sort of getting sorted out with Fowler now, Hayward, and finding places for Schwarber to play and getting the lineup every day?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, he may say it's fun, and I wouldn't want to wish injury on anybody, but the only way there's a consistent lineup is when he gets hurt. So he's going to have to mix and match. I was even looking at the pitcher versus batter matchup for the first series against the Angels. And there's really maybe one or two guys with any kind of a semblance of a history against, you know, the C.J. Wilsons, who's probably not going to pitch, but, you know, the Jared Weavers and the Garrett Richards, those type. And then you go to the next series against the Diamondbacks, the only guy they really had any experience against is Greinke. You know, he's a different animal. He's a tough at-bat for a lot of guys. I mean, Jason Hayward, I think, is like 2-for-11 lifetime. So, it's going to take some time to see how this all crystallizes, but certainly Joe's got a lot of work to do, and his staff and the sabermetrics people just doing the number crunching and see what works best. And as well, Joe, the most kind of surprising thing was Joe said, I'm not buying all this if you get hot, you stay in the lineup stuff. So that speaks to finding the right playing time and getting the right matchups no matter how well you do.
Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune with us here on 720 WGN, talking a little Cubs spring training. How does the money work here? Because, you know, connecting the dots, it looked like they had to trade Chris Coughlin to get Dexter Fowler, but maybe it was more that they just knew that Coughlin wasn't going to play, and then Theo's talking about how they do have money available if they want to make a move mid-season. What's your understanding on their finances?
Well, I think it's pretty robust right now. I mean, they're selling tickets, single season ticket sales at an impressive rate. A full season ticket sales, I mean, 98% renewal. That's pretty good. And then on top of that, just all the other stuff that's going on regularly with the renovations, and then you got a TV deal looming as well. But getting back to these next 2 years, they really position themselves well because they haven't spent all that money that earmark, and you got to believe that there's going to be more money pouring in just based on ticket sales, the anticipated success of this team. Certainly they paid a little more getting Fowler back after moving Coughlin, but they still have some wiggle room because Fowler's only on the books for $8 million, so that was only a $3.2 million spike when they did the transactions between Coughlin and Fowler. There's still plenty of wiggle room, so they're in pretty good shape to add a hired gun at midseason if they need one.
He's Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune covering the Cubs as we talk Cubs baseball for a full hour here on the beat. Gonzo, what do you expect? What do you think are real expectations for Kyle Hendricks in the back end of the rotation? And also, what do you think, or is it too early to even say, but what are your expectations for how the back end of the rotation gets sorted out here?
You know, everybody looks great At this time of year, everybody's coming off a strong winter. They address all their needs. But the reality is that they're going to need close to 200 innings from Jason Hamill. Now, in his defense, he looks great. He addressed some mechanical and nutrition issues in the offseason. He does look solid. Looks like a guy who will be able to give him a strong second half as well as the first half, but he's still got to do it. I'm not concerned with him as much as Hendricks, especially with the competition that they have in there. A guy like Adam Warren, who can start and did okay pitching in a tough American League East. For Kyle Hendricks, it's going to be more of the same. He's just got to be sharper now, you know, with changing speeds, changing the tilt on his pitches. He had mentioned that to me a couple of days ago, just not being so predictable. You know, we all know he doesn't throw the ball by guys that much, but he's got a superb changeup. And I think you just got to be a little more sharp in that regard and maybe give a hitter's a different angle to look at sometimes. And you have so much over the top, maybe three-quarter, but he is working on those things. I just think that he's going to be in for a battle because Adam Warren has been battle-tested and has a little more experience than him. And I'm saying that Kyle's going to lose his job, but certainly they're not going to hand him the fifth spot.
Last time the Cubs won a playoff series, that would be 2004. They went out and signed Greg Maddux. You had Kerry Wood. You had Mark Pryor. You had huge expectations. And then you had shoulders falling off, which I think is the biggest concern for this team. Tell me how Jake Arrieta looks, Gonzo, because, you know, 90 more innings last year, the big leap, and I know they're going to be cautious with him in spring training. I'm sure you've seen him throwing. What would you say?
Like he looked like he did when he faced the Pirates in the wild card game. He had a lot of batters buckling during live BP yesterday. Just great velocity. The sharpness in pitches this time of year was extremely impressive. So I know it's only that was live hitting for the first day, but I just think he's got to stay healthy because he was throwing hard out of the chute.
Eating that kale, doing that yoga, rocking those Pilates. I mean, you have so much in common with Arrieta, Gonzo. It's unbelievable.
I've been on a Pilates machine only twice, and that was to rehab my knee last summer. So that's as close as I've come to comparing to him.
At least you've been there, man. At least you've done it. Gonzo, we love you.
Back at you.
Appreciate the time, as always. Mark Gonzalez from Spring Training. Talk a little Cub. Did you hear what he just said, Hogue?
Well, he sort of said he loves you.
That and Arrieta's firing fastballs and curveballs by Cub hitters.
He also said in the answer before that everyone looks good right now this time of year.
Yeah, that's true.
200 innings from Hamill.
Well, that
seems like a high expectation.
That's a big Jason Hamill goal. I thought that the Hamill had the bad diet. I was going to follow up on that, but I kind of just let it go for a second.
He needs to get on that Arrieta kale.
Yeah,
the Dave Ennett kale.
I mean, come on, Jason Hamill. Enough with the fast food or whatever you're doing. Hey, the Cubs were under attack by somebody this week.
Yes.
We are going to have some fun with that coming on back here.
And a texter brought up a very interesting and valid question, I think.
Well, we could do that too as we wrap up our Cubs talk.
It's 720 WGN.
Well, I mean, it's a little surreal when Donald Trump threatens your mom. but you know, the fact is, whether it's my mom or my dad on his ending spending stuff or my sister on marriage equality or my brothers, what they do or what we do with the team, you know, we're pretty much an open book. I mean, we stand up for what we believe in. We support the causes that we think are important. You know, that's what America should be. So that's who we are. Look, if we had something to hide, you guys would have found it by now, I'm sure. So I have no idea.
The Ricketts are so American, it's frightening. On all sides of the aisle in the family.
It is an incredible family across the board.
Very diverse within a family, as far as their beliefs, right? We got some serious conservatives and some serious liberals all across the zone. Papa Fred would never have allowed that in my family. You are going one way and one way only, young son Mark. Know that, or else you will be banished. And I do thank him for that. 720 WGN, this is The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. You are Adam Hogue. That was Tom Ricketts.
Responding to what was basically blackmail by Donald Trump on Twitter on Monday morning. What a great way to wake up on a Monday morning, I thought. open up the Twitter machine and see that tweet from Donald at Real Donald Trump writing, "I hear the Ricketts family, who own the Chicago Cubs, are secretly spending money against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide." That is a threat.
Yeah, that is, I suppose, but it's...
And money's involved.
Good old Don.
I mean, that's blackmail.
No, he's playing dirty. That's what the Don does. Made me want to actually support the Cubs more than I already do as a half-season ticket holder,
So are we going from the president being a White Sox fan to the next president not getting along with the Chicago Cubs? And a texter brought up a little while ago, and I think it was a great point. Texter from the 773 named Grandma Hawk. "So when the Cubs win the World Series, and God forbid Trump's president, do they get invited to the White House?"
Great question.
"And do they accept if they are invited?"
My take is, well, number one, thank you for the God forbid there. God forbid. This cannot happen. Please do not allow this to happen. I'm getting terrified, by the way. I'm calling up all my political experts. He's not winning, is he? Like, come on. Please.
I don't think so, but...
I mean, I had like a 20-minute conversation with Jeff Carlin, who produces the Rokan show yesterday. It did settle me down. But regardless,
He settled you down?
Well, he seemed to know what he was talking about. I believed him. You know how you have that? Like, there's certain people that you look at and you just trust their political knowledge? It's kind of like you with the Bears. Like, when I look at you, they're not really going to draft a quarterback and, get rid of Jay Cutler, are they? And you say, they may draft one, but they're not going to get rid of Cutler.
Right.
And then I believe you.
Right, correct.
So when I said, he's not really going to win the election, is he? Or is he? He doesn't. I mean, a lot of people don't think that they're going to somehow allow him even to win the nomination for the Republican Party. But to the question, do the Cubs go? I don't think, I think they have to go, don't they? If the real Don is there, don't you have to go to the White House when the president calls?
I mean, he threatens the owner.
It's unbelievable.
Over money. Because there's money going against Trump. Significant amount of money, right?
I guess.
Specifically against him.
Well, good. God bless.
Well, I'm not...
People with a lot of dough, they can do whatever they want,
well,
right?
I'm just painting the scenario of Trump getting into the White House. He's probably not going to be a Cubs fan, is all I'm saying.
And that's okay. That's okay. The leader... I mean... Obama, at least on his, when the White Sox were there, he said he'd even take the Cubs now.
Obama's
rooting for one
politically correct.
Well, right, but he's out.
The Trumpinator's not.
He's out there though with his White Sox love. I mean, right? He went with
he's out there.
Well, he's a Sox fan. He's a South Side guy.
He doesn't hide it. Why should he hide it?
I mean, he shouldn't. He absolutely should not.
Okay.
And that's a beautiful thing. But he said when the Blackhawks were there that he wants them to squeeze out one more visit before he has to go off into whatever he's going to do, and he's willing to, welcome the Bulls or the Bears or the White Sox or even the Chicago Cubs, which is easily the best chance, right?
Well, besides the Hawks again.
Right. Oh, no, Hawks are far and away, but as far as somebody else getting in there.
No question.
Right. So, all right, 312-981-7200. We are moving on to the South Side, coming back here with the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, speaking of the Sox, we now turn our attention, a full hour of a White Sox preview coming up. Obviously, a lot more concerns than the Cubs. I feel like we just spent an hour trying to invent concerns for the Cubs. That's how good they are.
It's a guaranteed. The hunt for Blue October is going to be back in October. We're going to be sitting here, and we're going to be celebrating. It's going to be phenomenal. It'll be a disaster and we won't be. One of the two is going to happen.
I am still impressed at how well you kept your composure during the NLCS last year.
I
mean, you were obviously sad, not happy, but you and really the entire Cubs fan base, very well composed.
To the
Cubs losing in the fashion they did. Which I was the one who was sitting here, I think in this very chair, saying that this is unacceptable.
Yeah, well,
get mad, get angry. How is no one? You just got swept. You got dominated.
We beat the Cardinals.
It was, yeah.
No, it was enough. That was. We all know that.
That's a loser's mentality. I said it then, and I still believe it.
Of course. What do you think this is? It's 108 years. 720 WGN.
He brings the energy to the table. He's that leadoff guy. So we need that. We need him to be the spark plug.
the on-base guy. We need him basically, you know, to lead this team right from the get-go, right from Jump Street. And, you know, just from meeting him here, and, you know, he's actually from Ohio, so he's got his name out there. I've talked to a couple people, and, you know, he's got the energy, he's got the emotion, the enthusiasm, the big threes that we like to talk about, and we got the guys that'll back him up. And that's what you're looking for in a leader and a guy that's been here long enough to understand what we really need to do.
Go Todd Frazier, loving that Adam Eaton.
Let's make that our breaking news horn, by the way. I think we should make that part of the show.
Whose horn is this? Is it Patty's?
I don't know, but every time we have breaking news, play that, because I have news for you, Mr. Bull.
Yeah?
Your guy, General Soreness.
He's out tonight?
Not playing tonight.
Oh, it's I don't want to talk about that right now. We'll get to that later.
Well, by the way, if you had February 27th as the first Adam Hoge blow up on the White Sox, you are a winner.
And I should comment on, you did have to have a little White Sox meltdown. 312-981-7200. We're looking for optimistic White Sox fans and why you're excited about the season as Hoge already has melted down. I will say this about Derrick Rose not playing tonight. Just get yourself healthy. It's fine. If you can't play last night, then you shouldn't be able to play tonight, too. Take the weekend off. It's painful.
I don't care anymore.
Extremely painful. We'll do a little bit of
that. I really
that.
Don't care anymore.
And we'll do some, we'll get to Rick Hahn in a second, but we want to talk to you. 312-981-7200. Rob is in Door County, which is a beautiful place to spend a day or a lifetime, and wants to talk White Sox. Go ahead, Rob.
And it's a more difficult place to live since WGN America started and you don't get some of the games up here. But anyway, I think this is going to be a tough year for the Sox. Unfortunately, the thing that I think the pundits have it all wrong. The bright spot is that Garcia's got one more chance to show he may be a legitimate star player. And the rest of the people they're all saying are going to be good are not going to be, as far as Cabrera and Eaton, that we got rid of Addison Reed for Eaton is something that over time is just going to get worse and worse. And Cabrera, and then Kenny Williams has skated by without criticism that he deserves for this. And I'm terrified that this is going to be a worse year than last year. Where do we go from there?
Hey, Rob, when's the last time? You're a diehard White Sox fan, right, Rob? I can feel your I can feel your heart racing through the phone all the way from Door County. When's the last time you were excited about the White Sox, Rob?
The last time I was excited about the White Sox was when Adam Dunn's contract was up and we could possibly go in a direction that would not replace him with another 39-year-old with the longest, slowest swing in the league, and that we wouldn't bring in a designated hitter who's been busted twice for juice. And, you know, it's just looking very, very rough. And the pitching, it's a shame because the pitching staff,
Rob,
very good.
Rob, Todd Frazier, 35 homers. Good guy in the clubhouse. That doesn't get anything going on in Door County. I mean, you should head off to Anderson Island right now and celebrate.
What it makes you say is, you know, how much, where is that in relation to Kansas City? Where is that in relation to Cleveland? You know, it's painful, and that's the main thing I just wanted to say was, I think the bright spot is Garcia still has one more chance to show he's a star, and we'll see what happens from there. But I appreciate you guys taking my call.
You got it, Rob.
Rob, I appreciate you. I feel like we're related in some way.
I love Rob.
You have a lot of similar thoughts
you ever
as
been to
me.
312-981-7200. I love Rob, and I love Door County, too.
I've never been up there.
Oh, you got to do it.
Close I've gotten is Green Bay.
You can take a ferry over to Anderson Island. And for whatever reason, one of my buddies back in the day, we went Anderson Island, middle of summer, no tent, and we're just sleeping out under the stars. And like the park ranger or whoever.
Sounds romantic.
Yeah, well, it does sound that it wasn't. We don't play that way, but and not that there's anything wrong with that way, by the way. But that's not, so at any rate, park ranger comes up to us. He looks at us and he's like, "Where's your tent?" And I'm like, "We don't have one, dude. We're going under the stars.
You're going no tent.
For like 5 days, just hoping that it doesn't rain, or we'll just, I guess."
You did it for 5 days?
We were up there for a while.
I thought you were talking about one day.
No.
You went no tent for five
maybe
days?
Maybe it was like 3 days. And then we would just.
You got any animals up there?
Yeah, there's animals up there. I mean.
What if you just woke up and there's like a bear staring at you?
Well, there's no bears.
Well, that'd be sweet.
But there are other things. We just slept out under the stars back in the day in beautiful Door County and just thought about a better day for the White Sox. Which, let's just hear.
Wait, which could be here. It could be here. I don't want to.
I think it is here. I think they're going to be competitive.
We forget that they were around 500, and if you're around 500 going into the trade deadline, you're in competition because of the extra wild card now. But I'm skeptical that the issues are not going to be fixed long term because this is the same plan they've always done. The same thing, and they've only made the playoffs once in the last decade.
Well, that's true.
One time in a decade.
They're going about it the way Jim Hendry went about it with the Cubs, always trying to patch it together, and
that's not consistent success. No, maybe they'll be good this year. Maybe they'll win the division and get in the playoffs, but you're not building a team that can sustain success. It's just not there.
I feel you. Hold on, before we get to the manager of the White Sox, which I want to talk about Robin for a second. Ann's in Door County and says that I know nothing about Door County.
Apparently we're huge in Door County.
Hello, Ann.
No, I didn't say you didn't know anything, but it's Washington Island.
What did I say? Anderson?
You said Anderson Island. Anderson Dock is in Ephraim.
Oh.
And there are bears on the island.
There are?
Yeah, there's bears up in Door County, and there's bears on the island.
What are you doing sleeping without a tent when there's bears?
Listen,
around?
If a bear wants to get...
What's wrong with you?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if a bear wants to get you, they'll mow through the tent sleeve if they really want...
Yeah.
Right? So that's what I'm talking about, Hogue.
Especially if you have food in the tent,
right,
which you wouldn't want to do. So.
No, we had some food and some drink.
You know what? This whole camping thing has just never been a big part of my life. I'd find the nearest Marriott and hang out there, I think.
So it's Washington...
Well, we don't have any Marriotts in Door County.
What's the best ice cream place in Door County, Ann? I'm coming up this summer.
Well, it depends on if you want ice cream or if you want custard.
Whatever you recommend, Ann.
Well, we like the custard at Not Licked Yet. And then for ice cream, there's Door County Ice Cream Factory and Death Door.
There you go.
And Death Door Chocolate is the good one there. And then there's a new place that opened up last year in Egg Harbor that's called Grumpy's, and they've got really great popcorn and ice cream.
Grumpy's popcorn?
I'm telling you, Door County is. Ann, you're in Door County right now. Is that where you live?
We live in Egg Harbor, but actually, we just left Milwaukee. We were visiting friends, so we're on the way back home.
Okay. Well, good luck to the Brewers this year. They're going to be terrible.
Well, I root for the Cubs, so
that's why we love you.
I like the Cubbies, and I like the Blackhawks, but not the Bears.
Okay, so you're a Packer fan, Ann?
Yeah, we used to live a block away from Lambeau Field for 24 years. So
that's awesome.
That's amazing.
That is pretty cool. I've always seen those houses there. I'm like, first of all, the fact that there's a house right next door to Lambeau is crazy.
It feels like Wrigley. Ann, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You guys. Well, I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too, Ann.
Thanks, Ann.
All right, bye.
Okay, that was a beautiful little White Sox tangent to Door County. We're going to do a Rick Hahn after the 5:30 news. Let me just give one thought on the manager of the White Sox.
Okay.
And I like Robin Ventura. I think he's a
manager?
He's a fine gentleman. No. I think he's a fine gentleman, and I think that he would be a phenomenal accountant, and he was a great baseball player, and I loved when he beat up Nolan Ryan.
Got whipped by Nolan Ryan.
I love that he challenged Nolan Ryan.
Okay, I love that part, too.
A leadership quality.
Giant mistake.
Yes, and maybe it scarred him to this day. Here's the question.
Maybe that's why he can't figure out the first base situation.
Well, maybe. Here's the question, though. What is, and again, I hope he does well. I really do. But what is the compelling reason to keep him as manager? What has he shown in any, from strategy to leadership to developing players, everything you want to cross off that, oh, hey, he's really developed. Oh, no, he didn't really do that. Oh, well, they've overachieved here. Well, not really. They were in the race and they fell apart. And I'm rooting for him. But like, this obviously is a huge season for Robin, right? I mean,
he's not under contract beyond this year, which tells you everything you need to know anyway. And they hired Ricky Renteria as his bench coach, which That just can't make you feel good if I'm Robin.
Good old Ricky.
I mean, well, at least they have plan B if they do make a move, right? Makes me feel better about, you know, firing Robin in the middle of last season. Ricky Renteria did a good job for you guys.
He was fine, but he's so boring. The Sox need a little charisma in the dugout. Ricky Renteria and his golly gee shucks act.
This is what the White Sox and Bulls do, man. With these owners, they got a good manager, head coach, but he's got a big time personality, and they move on from that, and they hire worse coaches because of it.
It's not wrong. Sad. Rick Hahn coming back, and by the way, we're getting a million texts here that it's Washington Island, Carmen. You fool about Door County. I apologize to all the great Door County fans out there.
You upset a lot of people.
It was a while back. The old memory's not what it once used to be. I do apologize. All right, Rick Hahn, your general manager of your Chicago White Sox, next, 720 WGN. Going to get to Rick Hahn in 1 second here. We got Wildcat Insider coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. I want to read one text to you from one of my Northwestern fans.
Yes.
About the Rutgers basketball team. Rutgers is truly a really, in capitals, bad basketball team. The Big Ten has to go back to one of Bill Foster's worst teams to equal them in ineptitude, which is when Northwestern would win like 0 to 2 games a year. Not Bill Foster's fault, by the way. They shot 2 air ball free throws in the second half, and then in parentheses, 2 different players.
Which, by the way, I heard Dave Ennett calling the game, and Dave was like, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. 2 air balls by 2 different players, right?
Yes.
It's like, it's one thing if Shaq is airballing free throws like a couple times a game. Like, 2 different players did it in the same half.
I mean, they lost 98-59 to the Cats, who, I love the Cats, but they're not an NCAA team this year, and they probably aren't making the NIT either. I really hope they do.
They put up 98.
Yeah, they beat them by 40. It's hard to describe all the lowlights from the game. They were numerous.
One of the most shocking results ever.
And this is one of the most level-headed sports fan of all time. Yeah.
Remember how good Wisconsin was last year? You know, they went to the national title game.
Oh, when
they played Duke, they probably should have won that game.
Yes. I remember them coming into Welsh Ryan. I'm like, this is an NBA team.
Do you know who they lost to? They lost to Rutgers last year.
That's hard to believe.
Frank Kaminsky didn't play in that game.
Yeah, well, that
Trayvon Jackson got hurt.
That adds
it up. But still, you should have won. Like, that team was so good. And how'd they lose to Rutgers? It still blows my mind that happened.
There hasn't been a winless team in the Big Ten since 1990-91. The Wildcats and Rutgers now 0-16. All right, let's get back into Rick Hahn, right?
Yes.
And he was on with Steve Cochran. Rick Hahn, your White Sox general manager.
You'll hear from Dave Ennett and also Kevin Powell in the interview.
They're all involved in talking with the Sox GM, who Steve starts it off asking him how he's spending his spring training.
I'm pretty much here for the duration. I may try to steal back for a weekend and catch one of my kids in a hockey game or two just to heal the soul a little bit, so to speak, because it's tough being away from them for 6 weeks. But essentially, I'm out here in Arizona with the club the whole time.
Assume you were pleased to see that USA Today put no pressure on the team at all when they said they'd win the AL Central?
How about that? They had us, I think, tied for the best record in the American League even, which was nice to see. I mean, we tend to lose the forest for the trees, so to speak, out here sometimes. We get so focused on one or two specific needs on the roster that we're still trying to address here prior to opening day and somehow fail to sort of appreciate the entire corpus of our work from the off season. And it's nice to see some enthusiasm out there from some outside sources.
Well, and here's what we know. We know you had a lot of guys last year that didn't perform up to career expectations, who logic would tell you would be performing better this year. And you made a couple of key additions. So who excites you most?
You know, it is a combination of that. There is, when we sat down with our players at the end of the season and did our normal sort of one-on-one exit interviews, I tell you, probably 7 or 8 of them, the first 7 or 8 we talked to, each of them said to a man, just bring back the same group, Rick, and we're going to be just fine. We're going to compete for a playoff spot with this same central core. And obviously, given the disappointment from last year, we weren't just going to, you know, turn the page and bring back the same group. We felt we had to upgrade a few of our offensive positions in addition to relying on some internal improvement like you referenced. You know, from the outside, We brought in Todd Frazier, a former All-Star third baseman, who's going to provide a little protection in the middle of our lineup, and Brett Laurie, who's going to give us a little bit added spark and energy. And it's exciting to see the elements that those guys bring here in the first few days of camp. At the same time, you know, Adam Eaton and Melky Cabrera got off to the slow starts last year, as did many of their teammates. But each of them rebounded, Adam over the course of after about 4 or 6 weeks into the season, and Melky after a couple of months. And we certainly think we get a little more consistency out of guys like that early on, that we're going to be well positioned starting opening day.
Rick, one of the things we heard when you acquired Frazier was that he's a really good guy in the clubhouse. Have you seen evidence that this early in spring training?
We have, and he's a fantastic guy. And when you target a guy, ideally you want them not only to contribute on the field, but in the clubhouse as well. Given where we were from an offensive standpoint, first and foremost, we needed to improve our run scoring. If a guy brought ancillary benefits as leadership and energy and a positive attitude and a good work ethic, that only sort of reinforced the decision to make the move. And quite frankly, Frazier brings all of that and was at the top of our target list heading into the offseason, given the position of need and the whole body of what he brings to the club. And already early in camp, we've seen his enthusiasm, his work ethic. He's walked into the food room the other day, and he's sitting there with Tim Anderson and Carson Fulmer, two of our younger guys who very likely aren't on this club, at least at the start of the year. And it's just the three of them having lunch and Todd getting to know them and learn about what they're about and viewing them as part of our future.
Rick, you mentioned Carson Fulmer, and it's hard not to get excited about your starting rotation, especially that top three of Sal, Quintana, and Rodon. Young guys with electric stuff off the mound. But Carson Fulmer, your top pick in last year's draft, you're one of your top prospects, especially certainly your top pitching prospect. What ideally is the map for him, the game plan for him? And if we do see him come up at some point, can we expect to see a stint in the bullpen at all before getting a start?
You know, a lot of that is still to be determined. I think we've been spoiled or blessed, however you want to put it, around here the last few years in seeing the development path of a Chris Sale or Carlos Rodon, where in under a year they've gone from college right into the big leagues. Carson, even if he didn't make his major league debut until, say, 2017, that would be a quick path from Vanderbilt to Chicago. But the fact of the matter is that this kid does have special makeup and drive and work ethic as to go along with that premium stuff that had him that led to him having success at a major college program. So it's not unrealistic to think that he could conceivably follow that kind of path. The good ones have sort of a way of forcing the issue, and Carson's certainly one of the good ones. And from our mind, we're going to follow the same kind of plan that we had with Carlos, and that is he's gonna report to our minor league camp at some point over the course of the spring. I suspect he'll be part of that Double A Birmingham rotation, and then we'll respond accordingly based upon his results and what we're seeing from him both on the field and off. If he spends all year in that Birmingham rotation, that's fantastic. That's a nice accomplishment, one full year in your first full pro season. But he certainly has the stuff and the makeup to perhaps force his way to Chicago at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Rick Hahn's a guest. He's general manager of your Chicago White Sox. A quick look at the White Sox as they start to enjoy the first few days of camp and get to some hard work here. You know, Rick, I like the old guys now because I've become one, and Jimmy Rollins just turned, I think, 83. But he's got the heart of a kid, man. This guy just wants to play baseball.
You know, he looks fantastic. He in terms of his physical shape, and he's embraced the role that we've laid out for him. He's coming in here to compete for a job. I suspect that at the end of camp, a healthy Jimmy Rollins is added to our 25-man roster and is going to contribute one way or another, whether it's spelling Tyler Saladino and playing a number of different roles throughout the infield, or if he manages to seize that everyday job. Because I tell you, at age, he's 37 right now, and he looks much, much younger than that from a physical standpoint. It's just a matter of seeing what he's can contribute on the field. He's another guy, though, who brings that extra benefit, brings that edge, brings that competitiveness. I think he's going to be fantastic for both Tyler Saladino and Tim Anderson, one of our young shortstop prospects. Just being around him for these 6 weeks and Tyler into the season, to see how this guy, who, you know, former MVP, former All-Star at the shortstop position, how he goes about his work.
How does Abreu improve on what he's done his first 2 years?
Boy, you know, if he just stays where he's at, that's going to be awfully good and an MVP caliber player for us. I think the way Jose would probably answer that question is actually back in the clubhouse. I know he wants to seize the role of being one of the leaders of this club, and you know, frankly, there's been a language barrier the first couple of years preventing him from playing a bigger role. He certainly leads by example. You see how hard he works, how diligently he prepares, and how the caliber of effort he gives between the lines. But Jose's been working on improving his English so that he can seize that role and be the go-to guy, not just for his teammates, but for the media, and help continue to set the tone in that clubhouse. But from a production standpoint, I'll take what he's done the last couple of years, and we'll all be happy.
How's his English coming?
Much better, much better. I think he's not quite ready to break it out for the media, which is usually the last the last step for these guys as they transition. But it wouldn't surprise me if about a year from now you see him doing interviews down here on his own in English.
The other guys teaching him how to curse in English yet? Because that's usually a transition period.
That would never happen in a major league clubhouse.
No, of course not. By the way, I want to salute you for bringing Robin Ventura back, and I know it was not maybe it was an easy decision behind closed doors, but there were a lot of people who wanted to doubt the skipper. I've always been a Ventura fan and known him for a long time, and I think he's the right guy, and I certainly hope he proves it this year.
Yeah, and as do we, obviously, to believe he's the right guy and believe he is going to prove that was the right decision. You know, there's so much of... When you have a disappointing year, there's a lot of things that happen between 7 and 10 p.m. that people like to pick apart, ourselves included. But so much of managing, especially in this day and age, happens between 10 p.m. that night after the game and 7 p.m. before the next first pitch. And then Robin's as good as anybody in terms of his communication and ability to motivate players and set a game plan and stick to it. So there's a lot that people don't see that we view as a positive, and we're expecting this year we're going to have a lot of stuff that everyone can see between 7 and 10 that will be positive.
There you have it, Rick Hahn with the Steve Cochran Show, and there you have it, the endorsement for Robin Ventura. And listen,
you just made one of the most disgusted faces I've ever seen you make.
Well, I get a little bit, you can't separate out, in my mind, 7 to 10 and then 10 to 7. That's, it all goes in one big basket together. Well, you know, yeah, from 7 to 10, okay, that move, we want to pick at it, and so do we. But from 10 o'clock at night till 7 the next night, he's great. I don't think it works that way.
And it's been 4 years. So how long can you keep talking about how good he is outside of the game when the games keep ending in L's, not W's, right?
And listen, he hasn't had... The White Sox went out and made a ton of moves last year. Is it Robin Ventura's fault that Jeff Samardzija was atrocious?
No.
No. Is it Robin Ventura's fault that Adam LaRoche was atrocious?
No.
Is it Robin Ventura's fault that Melky Cabrera for the first half of the season last year was atrocious?
No. And that's why it's not like anyone's blaming him for what happened last season. But in the middle of all that, and I would even point to the first week of the season in a series in Detroit where there was a bad call at second base that cost the White Sox a win, and he chose not to challenge it. And if he had challenged it, it would have been easily overturned. Easily. It was so obvious on the replay. And that, yes, falls on his video crew a little bit, which the White Sox came out and said, we made some changes to the video crew, or the way they do that.
The old video crew change.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like a scapegoat to me. You're the manager. You shouldn't have needed video. It was such a bad call. Right there, that's a W taken off the board that I pin on the manager. And if there's five games like that in the course of 162, to me, that, yes, not everything's controllable by a manager. But if there's five games that are, you can point to, manager made a bad call, manager made a bad decision, that should have been a win. That needs to be changed.
I mean, my ideal manager along the lines you're talking about is somebody who's very calm and very, very intense. But when it's time to blow, It's not.
Which, actually, Robin has done on at least the umpires. I don't know about it in his own clubhouse with players.
Right. Well, it's that intensity with a little perspective, and then when it's time, it is time. Because you can't go through a baseball season and not get kicked out. You just can't.
Well, he got kicked out. He's gotten kicked out.
Right. Well, okay. And what you're talking about, he's just a little too mellow for me. How many times did he get kicked out last year?
We can look that up during the break.
Okay.
By the way, when we come back, we got to get to something. It's a big moment in at least my life. I think for a lot of other people.
Three times Ventura got kicked out last year. I'm going with the person on the street who's walking by. We'll double check it, but she's very confident that it's three times.
Okay. We'll leave her.
I'll go street for verification from now on in my life. Go ahead, continue on, please.
When we come back, life moment, very nostalgic.
I'm excited.
Got to get to it.
Okay.
720 WGN.
Ah. Hey Now?
That's right.
Is this Hey Now? I haven't heard Hey Now in a long time. Hey ya, hey ya,
hey ya,
hey ya,
hey ya. That's the name of the song.
Hey ya,
yes.
Do you do this at like? Do
you
they still
keep
do
doing
this?
That.
Do they still do this at bars? Maybe I need to start going.
I'm
again.
I'm
hey
I'm
ya,
being honest.
Hey ya.
All right, we should probably.
What
stop.
Just happened?
Well, what happened is like 50,000 people just turned off their radio.
No, they loved it. Everybody right now, the whole city's going, hey, yeah. I can feel it. Right down the Edens, right down the Kennedy to, hey, yeah. Okay.
Well, Adam, it's a gorgeous Saturday evening here in Chicago.
It is.
And I have a very important question for you, Mark.
Okay, let's hear it.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman.
Whatever happened to predictability in the milkman?
The paperboy.
The paper boy?
Evening TV. Mike, why don't you go and hit it? Everywhere you look, everywhere there's a heart, there's a heart, a hand to hold on to. Everywhere you look,
everywhere there's a place. Is this something that I should know?
The fact that you don't know what this is. You know what? Get out of the studio. You're relieved for the last hour of the show.
Hoag's kicking me out of the
You're
studio.
Out.
Jacobson, is he allowed to kick me out of the studio?
Absolutely.
Should have done it three hours ago.
Is that a theme song or something?
That is the theme song from Full House.
Ah, Full House.
Which you should know.
Never really watched it. Was that Tim Allen? The whole deal?
Oh, God.
I was never a Full House guy. Facts of Life, The Jeffersons, All in the Family. You give me a Good Times. Give me a
Tim Allen was Home Improvement.
Oh,
which is the second time you've asked me about Home Improvement today. The first time wasn't on the air. You're asking me about Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That's my guy.
Why?
Because I'm friends with his brother, who never acknowledged that his
Wait,
brother.
You're friends with JTT's brother.
I'm friends with JTT's brother, Joel Weiss. Joel Weiss, one of those guys who. Have you ever been friends with someone who doesn't tell you anything about their family?
Is JTT's real last name Weiss?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas is actually Jonathan Taylor Weiss. And Joel, who we were buddies with, all of a sudden, who was an assistant coach back in the day at St. Edward's University. I'm getting you off track. I'm sorry. But at any rate, one day his brother shows, Jonathan Taylor Thomas shows up, and people knew who he was. And Joel's talking, like, and they look alike. Joel, is that your brother? Yes.
He never told you that?
He never told anyone because he's just a private guy. Okay, why are we talking about Full House?
Because Fuller House, a new show.
Fuller House?
Fuller House debuted on Netflix yesterday.
Oh, wow. Netflix is coming on, man.
Netflix is huge.
House of Cards.
They got good shows. And, okay, it sounds stupid, right? A sequel to Full House.
Fuller House.
Fuller House.
Not the most inventive name, but that's okay.
Right. It's surprising how good it is.
Really?
It's way better than I thought.
Is it the same cast from Full House?
So it is a little bit. So the main characters are DJ, Stephanie, and Kimmy Gibbler. So two of the sisters and Kimmy Gibbler, who was the annoying neighbor that would always walk in the house. The rest of the cast is sort of, they're just guest stars. So they're a part of it. They're all in the first episode. You're Bob Saget. You're John Stamos, your, is it Dave Goulet? Is that his name?
Mike Jacobson needs to help out.
Uncle Joey. Uncle Joey's in it.
Uncle Joey's in it?
Yes.
The great Uncle Joey?
So they're all sort of like guest stars. They're not in every episode.
And but the Olsen twins are not back.
They're not back.
They didn't come back.
And there's actually a very funny moment in the first episode where they basically make fun of the Olsen twins for not being a part of it.
By the way, that's the voice of God, David Jennings, who will have the news for you in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, jumping it on Full House. All right, so...
How did you not watch Full House?
What years are we talking? Like, was I already...
I was one and a half... Okay, this is... Let me get to the point.
Wasn't that
1980s? 1987, it debuted in September of 1987. I was how many years old?
Apparently, you were 1.5 years old.
12?
I was 1.5 years old.
Oh.
By the way,
I just said that.
1987, I mean, that's Jordan's third season. Why would I be watching Full House? Continue on.
Okay. How old is my son right now?
1.5?
Yes. So yesterday, I was sitting there with my son, 1.5 years old, watching Fuller House, first episode of Fuller House.
I saw this Facebook post.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
I just thought it was cool.
Well, that is
there
cool.
I was. This show came out when I was 1.5. Now the sequel comes out when my son is 1.5. The
Mark,
show is
his kid's gonna so regret that in his later life, isn't he?
How so?
No,
I just think he will.
Okay. Anyway, back to my story. He is the exact same age. The show is basically about the new generation. That's like the point of the show. It's DJ Tanner's kids.
So you're seeing
it's
another
a new generation has happened, and more importantly, if you're probably a lot of people out there making fun of the new Full House.
Fuller House.
It's actually better than I thought. It's not bad.
So what you're saying right now is that I should go home and like go full binge watch Full House and then move on to Fuller House. Is that what you're telling
Absolutely.
Me to do?
Absolutely. I totally recommend that, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Here, Wendy Snyder, by the way, 4 hours ago on Facebook. What is wrong with me? I'm sort of enjoying Fuller House.
Wendy Snyder is so unpredictable that I can believe that she said that. I ran into Wendy yesterday in the hallway. I hope she doesn't mind that I'm sharing this. She's like, I have to go to the bathroom, but I'm too tired to go to the bathroom. I've never heard anybody say that before in my life. She was, yeah, I just don't want to deal with it. Like, no one's ever been in that mode. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm sure you'll figure that out, Wendy, and I'll see you soon enough. Good story there, right? Strong. You know what show I watched real quick that I loved this past week? Week's season... I forget what season it is, but the second episode of the season's coming up on Sunday. Girls was phenomenal this week.
Okay, that's like it's
so.
That's in like its fifth season.
Yeah, I know, but okay. The second episode of the fifth season is coming.
I gave
Sunday.
Up after that after two seasons.
I love Girls.
The Beat.
Racing results by wire soon. Radio, I'm told, will transmit news stories within minutes of their occurrence. It's the age of information, and a businessman lives and sometimes dies on its value.
It's time for Buried Headlines here on 720 WGN, The Beat, here for another hour. Adam Hoge, Mark Carman with you. We will be talking to Northwestern's Anthony Walker coming up in,
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Anthony Walker's going to touchdown, maybe 12. And then Bryant McIntosh after the 6:30 news, who had 13 assists today for your Wildcats, who beat Rutgers 98-59. Heard here on 720 WGN.
As we get to some of the stories that have been buried a little bit throughout our show and we need to get to, this from Deadspin, a problem for Butch Jones, the head coach at Tennessee. Boy, it's been a tough month for the University of Tennessee. This story here says, in a sworn affidavit, then Volunteers football player Dre Bowles says he was attacked and threatened by teammates for helping a woman who told him she had been raped by players A.J. Johnson and Michael Williams, and told by head coach Butch Jones that he had, quote, betrayed the team. The Tennessean first reported the affidavit, executed 2 days ago, which was included in a lawsuit filed by 8 women against the University of Tennessee. The suit was filed earlier this month with the amended complaint featuring new information like Bowles' affidavit, which was filed today. Bowles' account can be read if you find the story here. Basically, this is a sort of a Steve Alford moment.
Yeah, it is.
The whole trying to protect players that have probably committed a crime, and the question here is, did Butch Jones commit a crime?
Sound effect moving on, because that is a... Right. That's all valid right there. All right, let me lighten it up here with a little bit of... maybe the most underrated player of all time. When you talk about the NBA's greats, it's rare that the Big O, Oscar Robertson, gets mentioned, and he did once average a triple-double and certainly should be considered in the top 10 players of all time, but he's also lost his mind because Oscar is complaining about Steph Curry and the attention that Stephen Curry is getting, who's putting up ridiculous numbers as Golden State. Looks like they're going to beat the Bulls' record of 72-10. This is the Big O on Stephen Curry. If I've got a guy who's great shooting the ball outside, don't you want to adjust your defense a little bit? 77-year-old Big O was on with ESPN's Mike and Mike. I just don't think coaches today understand the game of basketball. They don't know anything about defenses. They don't know what people are doing on the court. They talk analytical basketball and stuff like that. So here's the Big O sounding like a complete moron, yeah, with all due respect. Stephen Curry, they don't know how to stop him because nobody in the history of the game has ever played like him.
Oh, wait, not our Big O.
No, not our Big O. Not our Big O. Do you know what Steph Curry is from 28 to 50 feet? Now, 28 feet is 6 feet behind the three-point line in the corner.
Wow.
Okay, from 28 to 50 feet. An NBA court is 94 feet long. That's past half court. From 28 to 50 feet, do you know what Steph Curry has shot for the year? I'm sure you don't, because why would you?
45%.
He shot 52 shots between those distances. From 28.
In fact, he's even taken 52 shots
right
from there.
It's from insane. 28 to 50. How many? He shot 52 times from 28 to 50 feet.
So I'm too high, you're saying?
Well, no, just how many has he made? Just make it easier for people to understand here. He shot 52 shots.
Okay, I'm going to say he made. Now you're making me do the
26
math.
Would be half, would be 50%.
Yeah, I
35.
Know.
35.
No, lower than that. 23.
Jennings, did you look it up?
No.
He's made 35 out of 52. From 28,
he had that on the dot.
From
that's insane.
From 28 to 50 feet, Big O, you have no idea how to guard the guy. He's in range once he crosses half court.
David Jennings, I'm sorry, I doubted you.
That was pure guess.
That was crazy,
but it sounded like the kind of guess that would fit somebody who is just, well, standard defenses don't work. Because standard defenses don't come out that far.
That's exactly right.
All right, moving on. Dusty Baker, he's now the manager of the Washington Nationals, in case you didn't know that. He has a very good player on his team.
Bryce Harper?
Yeah, Bryce Harper. Unfortunately, Dusty Baker has a problem. He's having trouble learning the names of his players.
He's getting older.
Including Bryce Harper. Chelsea Janes, who covers the Nationals for the Washington Post, tweeted the other day, "By the way, Dusty Baker keeps accidentally referring to Bryce Harper as Royce. He did it twice so far."
Royce, Bryce, it's the difference. Hit home runs, run bases. He also said that, by the way, Bryce Harper doesn't need to be a leader, which when you're the best player on the team, you've been in MLB for 5 years, I think you do, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's it. Dusty Baker doesn't know Bryce Harper's name.
That's a clown question, bro.
Moving along to an emotional one. Lincoln Way North. Outstanding high school. Outstanding basketball team.
Yes.
Outstanding gymnasium. But no longer. The school closing. And last night was the final game in the Phoenix's gym. Lincoln Way North. Closing at the end of the year. And their final game. An emotional comeback. But they came up short. 58-51 in a Southwest Suburban Red showdown with Lincoln Way West. And it's always emotional when an historic gym on any level plays its last game, and that happened last night.
What's your favorite what's your favorite high school gym? This area. Obviously not like Hinkley.
Favorite high school gym. Probably Evanston.
Okay.
The sweet gym.
The Tribune had like a photo gallery last week.
Yeah.
Like the top 20.
I haven't been to enough to really know.
Leo is
a
unique. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's a unique one that I had a good time in. Because you're like sitting on the second level looking down at the court. It's weird.
I like that.
But
I used to call play-by-play out in the with the DeKalb Barbs and the Sycamore Spartans. Enjoyed a St. Charles on a those were so, that was so much fun. the Barbs actually went to the sectionals that year, or maybe were one away from going to the sectionals, whatever it was they were playing. Playoff basketball they normally didn't play. It was 2,000 people going crazy in a gym. Young Carmen on the call. I'd like to go back to those days. Continue on, Adam Hoge.
So, Matt Forte is a free agent.
No!
Yes, he is. And,
Patriots?
Yeah, Jason Lockenfor from CBS has a story. Why Matt Forte makes sense for the Patriots in a devalued running back market. He writes, for a guy like Matt Forte, despite all he's accomplished in the league, some execs aren't sure he can get more than a short-term deal, averaging $4 to $5 million a season. You may remember, by the way, this is me interjecting, that I said $5 million. Three years, 15 million, five a year.
Remember it well.
If that's the case, then the Patriots are a logical choice. Forte is precisely the kind of heady, steady veteran that Bill Belichick covets and plays a position of need with Deion Lewis trying to return from injury and with injured LeGarrette Blount, a free agent himself. Forte just has the Patriots look about him. He is driven and he has a multi-pronged skill set and he just might end up being a true value for a team that often ends up finding just that.
Forte was like the guy value. He stayed in the wrong relationship for too long, and he's finally getting out of it, and he's going to find that the grass is greener on the other side as he goes and wins with an organization like the Patriots or the Packers or someone.
If he ends up in Green Bay, this city might explode.
Some will, but I think
a lot of people that were like, go ahead, let him, like, it's the right move, let him go, will suddenly be like, oh, how did they let this happen?
It might go down that way. I think I like the New England for him. I think he might not want to go to Green Bay for his Bears love. That was Buried Headlines, by the way.
He'll go whoever's paying the most.
Well, that's probably true, too. All right, Anthony Walker cannot get paid, but he's going to be a junior for Northwestern. He's going to be one of the best linebackers in the entire country. He's a great kid, and he's a winner. And he's going to join us next on Wildcat Insider, 720 WGN.
Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
It's time for Wildcat Insider. On the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720 WGN.
6:19 here on 720 WGN. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen here with you till 7 o'clock. And time to jump into Wildcat Insider. And believe it or not, Mark, spring football started this week. It is already here. It feels like the Outback Bowl was just...
yesterday?
Last month, which it actually was.
Remember when we were together at the Outback Bowl and we took a picture on the field and you smiled at me?
Yes. Wasn't that creepy, though, as you just made it sound?
It was kind of creepy. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare Anthony Walker Jr., Northwestern Jr.
Yeah, I think you did. And we bring him now into the program. Anthony Walker, who already first team All-Big Ten last year, second in the country with 19.5 tackles for loss. It was a great year, not only for you, Anthony, but obviously your football team winning 10 games. Can you believe that spring football is already here?
It's still in shock. I'm still in shock right now. I mean, it feels like we just ended, but, it's always great to put the pads back on and, get back out there with your teammates. And we know we have a long journey to continue from last year, and we want to, get it started off the right way.
You, Anthony, I'm just looking at your Twitter here, and you got a little love for Justin Jackson, who's also going to be a junior with you. Do you look at the two of you as kind of – now stepping into upper-class territory as sort of the leaders of the team along with, young Clayton as well?
Oh, definitely. Justin Jackson has always, since he stepped on campus, has always been a big contributor to our team and always, the catalyst of our running game. So, just having him and Clayton Thorson, just those guys leading the offense and myself and Matthew Harris, C.J. Robbins, leading the defense, is going to be, we're looking forward to having a great season.
Anthony, what do you try to accomplish personally during the spring football season?
Just going back to the little details and fundamentals of football. I mean, it's kind of hard to do that during the season when you're trying to game plan and, get ready for the next opponent. But, spring football is always the time to go back and, just go back to the fundamentals of football. I think you can, Coach Fitz always says you can never get too much fundamentals in. And I think that's a very true statement, and we take this time here to go back over the fundamentals, the basics of our, playbook and, the technique that Coach Fitz teaches us, and this is a great time for that.
That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
It is fun. You make it fun. I mean, it's not a,
like Coach Fitz always says, it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity to get better one day at a time. And, you know, it starts now. You know, the journey for the 2016-2017 season starts now. So, you know, you gotta take it as it comes. You know, it's the off season, and, you know, the off season is a – I mean, the regular season is a reflection of your off season. So, you know, you have to be ready to go at any moment.
Look at my man, all business, just ready to go. This is
Well, from what I hear, Anthony, you are ready to go. I talked to your head coach the other day, Pat Fitzgerald, up in Evanston, and it seems like the hunger with you, from what I gathered, is at an all-time high. You got a taste of plenty of success this season, but still some losses that I know you guys want to have back, and I think that you probably realize that there's a lot of talent on your football team and that this coming season could be pretty special.
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to look too far ahead, but just I just really feel motivated about the next season coming ahead, and that starts, you know, in the weight room, and I know the guys that we have coming back, and, you know, we're all hungry for, you know, another great season. I mean, last season was great, but, you know, we felt like we ended it off the wrong way, and, you know, we also played three games, and, you know, we didn't play our best ball at all, so... you know, definitely we have to come back, and, you know, you have that chip on your shoulder, you know, just to come back and have repeat another good season and also do better. So I think, you know, Coach Fritz talks about it all the time again, you know, just going back to, you know, using this time right now to get better at your game and, you know, also, you know, build that camaraderie as a team.
I've noticed some of the football players taking in a little basketball and perhaps – trying to distract the opponents with a little waving on the free throws. And what do you have to say about that, Anthony? Because I think you've been involved yourself.
Definitely. We love turning those guys on, and that's not with just basketball. That's with any sport. You know, we're big fans of all the sports here at Northwestern, women's basketball, also women's lacrosse, you know, just to name a few. But, I mean, we try to get out to as many events as possible. You know, just because we know all the student athletes here have our back, and, you know, they try to make it to all the games that they can. So why not, you know, lend that support? It's all, you know, it's all about cats helping cats.
You're not thinking about going to the NFL after this year, are you, Anthony? I know
that's far away from right now.
You better get used to that question, right now, Anthony.
We're just focused on the season. That's all. We're taking it one day at a time, you know, trying to get through spring ball and keep getting better each day.
Well, it's Anthony Walker, linebacker for Northwestern, a name you better get to know.
And by the way, let me just say, if you can be a first-round draft pick, as much as we love you at Northwestern, it's all about getting the great job in life, and if it's the right move for you, I think everybody at Northwestern, and certainly us here at WGN, will support you, Anthony. Just know that.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate that.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Anthony, this week, there's going to be surveys sent out to all student athletes across the NCAA, an initiative that was started by your athletic director, Dr. Jim Phillips, to kind of study time demands. And it's probably different for every sport, but and probably within your own team, there's probably guys that you want to be in the film room all the time, get all the work as possible, and there's probably others that would like to have a little bit more free time. Where do you stand on that, and how will you be? Give us a sneak peek of how you might be answering that survey.
I mean, I think everybody has their own opinion about, you know, the situation. And for me, it's more so, I mean, college is all about time management and being able to, you know, set your schedule up and for a way that you have that social free time and also stay on top of your academics and also, you know, do prep your film prep and, you know, practice prep for, you know, games every week. So I think for me, it's more so, you know, how you handle your time management. And I think for the most part, I think everybody on our team usually do a pretty good job of that. And I mean, I can't speak for everyone else. For me personally, I like to think that I'm a good time management person. And I mean, yeah, that's a tough question. That for me, it's all about time management, and I think I've been, you know, successful in, you know, adding in that free time and also, you know, staying on top of my schoolwork and also my film prep and, you know, practicing everything. So for me, I feel pretty comfortable.
How's the food on campus? Like, what are you having for dinner tonight? Are you a cafeteria guy?
They're getting spoiled now. The rules have changed on this.
We need to know what's going on in the inner workings here, Anthony.
All right. I mean, the food here is great. I think Coach Fitz and the athletic, you know, staff, the sports nutrition staff, they do a great job for us. And I mean, today we were able to fortunate enough to have barbecue after practice.
Ooh,
which is lovely.
That sounds good.
And you know, it's always great. And you know, for our team, Chick-fil-A is always the way to go. So I may you know, try to take a trip to Chick-fil-A sometime between today or tomorrow. So.
You guys,
you know, that's pretty much our plan.
You still hitting up a Mustard's Last Stand over there? That used to be.
Oh, definitely.
See,
definitely.
That's what I'm talking.
You got to go there. That's
double cheese.
Hey, Anthony, definitely. As we let you go here, you have you been paying attention to your guys, Dean Lowry and Dan Vitale, this weekend at the combine?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Those guys are. I mean, I didn't expect anything less from either of those guys, especially on the bench press, starting off with Dan and then Dean matching it with 30. Those guys, I mean, Dan is a freak of nature, and so is Dean Lowry. Just they both just work very hard, and I mean, I'm just proud of those guys. I know they really work hard for it.
Well, I feel like Dean's not getting enough respect, and I'm surprised by that because, you know, obviously you played with him, and I was standing there on the sideline all season watching him. I mean, all you got to do is turn on that tape in Nebraska, right, and see that he can play in the NFL.
Not even the Nebraska. I think Nebraska was his best, probably one of the best performances I've ever seen by a DN. But, I mean, you could turn on any film, and I think he, you know, he pops out every time. Just, I mean, he works hard in the weight room, off the field, just a great guy all around. And just, I mean, being able to play with him, I was very fortunate. And 19.5 TFLs, I got to give 18.5 to D. Lowry just because, you know, just – his presence on the field along with, you know, Deontay Gibson. And, I mean, Dan, like you said, Dan is also, you know, I mean, like I said, he's a beast. And I expect nothing less from those guys.
Anthony, we appreciate the time. Best of luck with the spring practice. And we're looking forward to seeing you back on the field come the fall. And hopefully you guys can make another run to a New Year's Day Bowl or perhaps even greater than that.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you guys having me.
It was our pleasure. That's Anthony Walker. Great kid from your Northwestern Wildcats. You want to follow him on Twitter? It is _AWalkJr. We'll talk to Bryant McIntosh, who had 13 assists today in the Wildcat basketball victory over Rutgers.
Really quick, if you don't know who Anthony Walker is, didn't see him play this year, get to know him, because not only is he going to be a monster in college football this year, a guy that's going to be getting praised nationally, he's going to the NFL. Whether it's this after this next season or the year after that, and he is a really good, hungry player that is going to be doing some special things for Northwestern next fall. He already has.
Super fast, super strong, super talented, and a tremendous head on his shoulders as well. All right, quick timeout. We'll get you into the 6:30 news, and then we'll continue Wildcat Insider, 720 WGN. WGN.
Is that your Northwestern dance? You like the hips moving there?
When you get a little Wildcat fight song going on, and if you don't get out of your chair and do a little dance, then you're just not living your life properly. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Obviously.
Plus, as we are in the middle of our Wildcat Insider, it's time to bring in the star of the day, Bryant McIntosh. Now I'm going to make him call him a frequent visitor to the program. It's his second time on. B-Mac, with you only had 13 assists today. That was you were right there for the Northwestern record with your assistant coach Pat Baldwin, but I guess you decided, B-Mac, that you know I don't want to pass coach. I want him to stay on my good side. Right? That was the thinking.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I guess. You know, I guess today wasn't meant to be. That record wasn't meant to be broke today.
No, wait a minute. Did he pull you out of the game? He pulled you out of the game so you couldn't break it.
No, he actually.
I don't know. I think it was Coach Collins who pulled me out of the game. But you know, I think maybe they're just trying to cover up and save face for Coach Baldwin. Who knows?
I thought I saw some tweet there, where Coach Baldwin was like, "Hey, put B-Mac in there. Let him try to get my record." Did that happen?
I know at halftime he was telling me to go get it. So we'll chalk it up as him being the good guy today.
Did you know that Coach Baldwin actually played basketball?
Yeah. He can still play a little bit today. He helps us with a scout every once in a while, and he can still play, and he can pass with the best of them.
I'll tell you a story, Bryant, that probably won't interest you, but I'll tell it anyway. 1994. the Northwestern Wildcats had to beat the University of Michigan, the Fab Five, in their final home game to become Big Ten, to become NIT eligible, because you had to be over 500. Pat Baldwin was the point guard of that team. They beat Juwan Howard. They beat Jalen Rose. They won in over. The Cats won in overtime, 98-94. I was a University of Iowa student on my couch at Iowa weeping when the Cats got into the NIT. That's the passion that I bring for the program. That's a true story. Does that scare you at all? Does he?
I appreciate that passion.
I mean, that's you. You should ask Coach about that one. How are you? You got three games left in the Big Ten, Brian. How are you looking at the rest of the season? I know you guys want to get as many wins as possible.
Yeah, for sure. We got two. We got at Penn State, and we have Nebraska at home next weekend for senior night. Both are very big as far as seeding for the Big Ten tournament, and you know, just how we want to finish the year. I think, you know, I think we've had a pretty successful year. We have 18 wins so far. We could tie for the most wins in school history with 20 by the end of the regular season. So I think it would just mean a lot to us as far as just taking care of business and finding a way to win two games in a row in the Big Ten would be huge for us.
All right, now I got a very important question for you, Brian. Yesterday, Dave Ennett, of course, Mr. Cat, the voice of the Wildcats, was presented with a giant fat head of himself that I believe ended up in the student section today. At least it was supposed to, and it was in the crowd. Did you guys notice that during the game? And how much, if you realized the bigger head, which was Steve Cochran's, how much did that you think that affected a 39-point blowout of Rutgers today? I have to think that was a huge part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it could have played a part as far as the other team's free throw shooting. I know our fans like to wave that stuff and kind of do some stuff with it as they're shooting free throws. And, you know, Rutgers didn't shoot free throws too well today. So maybe we can chalk that up as a win for us in that category. I don't know how much it affected the game. Personally, I didn't see it. I can't even pay attention to the student section. You know, Coach Collins is always talking to me during free throws and stuff. So the chances of me looking into the crowd at the student section is kind of tough.
So when you're up 40 and Coach Collins is screaming at you, I mean, what's going through your head there, Coach? Can you give me a moment here?
No, it's generally just trying to figure out what he's wanting to be done on the next play coming up. So it's generally got to take it pretty serious, and every once in a while I can wave him off and say, no, I've already called a play, and go with it from that way and see how he handles it.
That's interesting. So, I mean, you're going to be an upperclassman next year, Brian, so I think, you know, you'll have more and more pull. Last year, I know, as a freshman, you played a ton of minutes, and by the end of the season, you were kind of spent, and you spent some time in the offseason building yourself up to handle the rigors of the Big Ten. How are you feeling with three games to go?
Honestly, I feel great. You know, we had a week off, and that week off, I took about 3 days off. Coach did a great job of kind of giving the guys that had played a lot of minutes some time off and just to kind of recover. You know, it's a long season, especially with the Big Ten. It's a grind. So those couple days off really helped, and I feel like my energy is at a really good spot right now, and the way my body feels is much better than what it was last year. And my weight has kept, right around the same. It's as I started out in the year, which wasn't the case last year. So it's helpful knowing that the steps I took have paid off, and then I'm also shows that I'm doing a good job of taking care of my body.
No doubt.
We just got the phone with Anthony Walker, who is definitely one of the many football players that comes to your games and supports the basketball team, which I always think is cool. Now, I heard a rumor, though, that Godwin Igwebuke, of course the safety for Northwestern, was at the game today wearing purple and white striped overalls, which is a pretty bold.
100%. He was there. I saw that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that is confirmed. But what does it mean to you guys when you see the football players there screaming and hollering in the front row at Walsh Ryan Arena?
Yeah, it's great because it's a small community here in Northwestern, and just having their support, and you know, we go to their games and support them as well, but you know, we don't stand out. Our football student section is much bigger than our basketball student section, so Just having them in the front row just brings a lot of energy. And, you know, some of the guys, they get a little rowdy, especially right before the national anthem. So it kind of gets the juices going a little bit. And just knowing that we have the that they're supporting us and we're supporting them is, I think it's pretty special.
And the crowds have been coming up, Bryant. I mean, you guys had a near sellout today against, you know, Rutgers, which is obviously not the prime opponent in the Big Ten. It seems like people are starting to latch on to this team and see what's, you know, hopefully possible in the next couple of years. Have you felt a greater atmosphere in Welsh Ryan Arena this year?
Yeah, I felt like the atmosphere, especially as far as having purple in the crowd. You know, my freshman year, I remember playing against Wisconsin, and I felt predominantly the entire crowd was red. So having all purple in there and, you know, like you said, having the football team and other student athletes there supporting us and just having that support, I think, has really grown, and it's a good sign. But as far as looking forward to the next year and everything, I think we're just – right now we're worried about what we can do with it this year. I think we have – something special going on this year, and I really think we can make something really good of this one.
Absolutely. You got Penn State on the road and then Nebraska Senior Day next Sunday. Hey, we know you're a huge Golden State Warrior, Dub Nation, Stephen Curry fan. You were at his camp over the summer. I'm going to see how good you are. We just talked about this on the show, so if you're listening, that's unfair. But from 28 to 50 feet, right? Your guy Steph has shot 52 shots all season long. How many has he made from 28 to 50 feet of those 52 shots?
I don't know. I would say he's right around 50% though. I feel like every time he shoots it, you said 58 shots.
52.
I'm gonna say 52.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna say 26.
26 would be 50%. That's why you do go Northwestern. Accurate math right there. He's made 35 of 52, wow. B-Mac.
That's crazy.
How crazy is that?
It's unbelievable. But the guy's hand-eye coordination is better than anyone I've ever seen in my entire life. If just being around him for those couple days, I mean, his hand-eye coordination is bar none the best I've ever seen.
What do you think Chris Collins would do if you shot even a shot from 28 feet?
I don't know. A couple of people have asked me that just as far as, like, kind of asking how big my leash is. I'm pretty sure I would come out and I would get a very stern talking to. You know, but that's just me. You know, some of the other guys will joke that my leash is a little bit longer and that I could probably get away with one. But I don't know.
Listen, if you guys do what you did today to Rutgers against Nebraska next Sunday, I want you to come down a little between the leg, a little hop, and then just fire one right from half court and stare. And you could stare right at Coach and be like, I'm having a
take me out, I dare you.
That'd be a hot look. Hey, Brian, good luck at Penn State. We always appreciate you jumping on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, B-Mac. Northwestern sophomore point guard on his way to one hell of a career for your Wildcats. And by the way, you know, college basketball with the tournament coming on, you can register now through March the 17th for WGN Radio's Bracket Battle. It's sponsored by Al Pamani Ford. You fill out your bracket and you make your picks in this year's men's college basketball tournament. You can compete against your favorite WGN radio host for the chance to win cash prizes and a two-year lease, Adam Hoge, a two-year lease on a 2016 Ford Focus. A perfect 63-game bracket wins you $1 million.
No. I almost got that last year.
You were right there,
but
huh?
But then Wisconsin lost to Duke.
Yeah, that you were perfect until that game.
Until that game, I had a perfect bracket.
You're an amazing talent.
For real, though, I did this last year. Are you going to do it this year?
Absolutely.
You compete against us. We're in it. We can't win the prizes, obviously, but you can compete against us.
I mean, and I would be intimidated competing against me, but you can enter. The person with the highest point total wins the two-year lease from Al Pamonte Ford. Keep up with the tournament standings. See how you stack up against the WGN Radio family. Register today and get details at WGNRadio.com/bracketbattle.
Huge game tomorrow at the United Center. Washington Capitals coming to Chicago. They're probably already here, unless they're playing tonight, which I'll have to double check. But anyway, they can't be playing tonight if they have an 11:30 game tomorrow morning. That's just me talking out loud here and figuring out simple math and logic that I don't think the NHL would be that crazy to do. Anyway, 11:30 tomorrow, right here on 720 WGN, the number one team in hockey in terms of points, Washington Capitals, facing your Chicago Blackhawks. Judd Surratt will have a preview of that game coming up next. It's 720 WGN.
You know it. You love it. Wake up on a Sunday morning, put on WGN.
Where will you be celebrating in June?
We started the show with it. Blackhawks making three trades the last 3 days as general manager Stan Bowman just solidifying the roster.
Is this a preview tomorrow?
Ooh.
Of the Stanley Cup Final.
Washington Capitals, your NHL point leader, coming to the United Center tomorrow. If there's one man that can break it down and give you everything you need to know, it is Judd Surratt. Here is Know Your Enemy.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
He is my enemy.
This is Know Your Enemy on 720 WGN. He's Judd Surratt.
The Washington Capitals look like they have it all, boasting the league's best record for months. Washington features the best offense in the league, the team's best forward. Take your pick. It could be 23-year-old Evgeny Kuznetsov, who shouldered his way among the league's top scorers. Head coach Barry Trotz might tell you. It's smooth setup man Nicklas Backstrom, a regular among the NHL's assist leaders. Of course, it could also be the great eight, Alexander Ovechkin.
Burakovsky, sightseeing on the outside, just probing the defense now. Backdoor look, Ovechkin rips, he scores! In a flash! Welcome to the club, number 500 for the great eights.
Only Hall of Famers Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Mike Bossy, and Brett Hull reach 500 goals faster than Ovechkin, who has a wicked one-timer, and when he wants to, hits like a train. During the offseason, second-year general manager Brian McClellan added valuable experience, signing three-time Stanley Cup winner Justin Williams and trading for tenacious winger TJ Oshie, Jonathan Toews' teammate at North Dakota.
A guy like that, you're always going to see his point production and the goals and assists go up every single year. But, you know, on a team full of those young, talented players, I think he's one of those go-to guys that, especially in big games, he's not afraid to go in those tough areas. He's tough to play against for big, strong defensemen even. He's not the biggest frame, but he protects the puck as well as any of them. And in close, thinking back to our college days, he's still to this day probably one of the most naturally talented guys I've ever seen. And, you know, he's definitely fun to watch, but not one of those guys you like playing against.
Defensively, the Caps, one of the stingiest teams in the league, are anchored by Vezina Trophy and MVP candidate Braden Holtby.
Hall with a chance now. Hall's got Greiba catching up. Here's Taylor Hall. Greiba shot. Oh, what a circus save by Holtby.
Heading into late February, Holtby led all goalies in wins with a sparkling 38-6-3 record. On the blue line, John Carlson, Matt Niskanen, and Carl Alsner are all deft puck movers with some offensive flair. Shutdown defenseman Brooks Orpik, who won the 2009 Stanley Cup with the Penguins, just returned from long-term injury, and Washington acquired steady defenseman Mike Weber from the Sabres just before the NHL trade deadline. The Capitals have had plenty of regular season success, winning their division five times over the last eight seasons. That, however, has not translated into the playoffs. In fact, Washington has only made it to the conference finals twice in their 40-year history, and the deepest they've ever been, getting swept in the 1998 Stanley Cup Final by the Red Wings. This year, though, the Caps are in position to make history. For Know Your Enemy, I'm Judd Surratt.
And we thank Judge for that preview of tomorrow's huge game against the Washington Capitals.
Keep your enemies close.
You jumped the line, man.
I shut up in time for it.
That was a great job, as always, by Judd, who is on the money with his Capitals preview tomorrow. That's a big game tomorrow. By the way, Justin Kaufman's in for Amy Guth tonight. The Saturday night special is, we're changing gender, and we're going full-time employee doing a Saturday night show. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of WGN. What a commitment by Justin Kaufman. He's going to share that, where the, all that desire comes from, with us next. Are we going to learn something, Adam?
I always do. You got to put that horn away.
I do need to put the horn away. All right, Kaufman's next. So is the Saturday Night Special, 720 WGN.